partly cloudy with a low around 70. Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Liz Brown is on vacation today. She will be back on Monday, the 12th. Until then, we have a best of until 7 o'clock when Irene J. Smith fills in for her. So stay tuned. We're going to give you the best of the wake-up call in this 6 o'clock hour. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I like some cookies. Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The following program is the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown will be back on Monday the 12th. Until then, enjoy this best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Don't forget, you can always, if you miss an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org, where the wake-up call is archived daily. Also, you can do us on your iPod as well. And you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out my website at lizbrown, that's LIZZBROWN.com. Those are my digits. You need to get to me. I every single day without fail, we talk about the tragedies, the crimes, the pain, the suffering, the cruelty, the thievery that is going on in Iraq. Every day, when you think that it can't get any worse, you read a story coming out of France, reporting out of France, that babies, 24 babies were killed in a bombing, a suicide bombing, while grabbing candy from soldiers in Humvees. 25 babies, Iraqi babies, were killed. We hear stories of Karl Rove stonewalling, saying he did not give up the name of Miss Plain. I remember he gave it up because he was mad at her husband, who was telling the truth that George W. Bush was using falsified information to get us into a war. And one of the phrases that we all resonate with, particularly with what has happened in England, the phrase that we resonate with is 9/11. They came, they got us on 9/11, right? There's not an American, I don't think, or so few that it is statistically insignificant, that hasn't seen a picture or a television image of those buildings falling down after the planes ran into them. But the reality is that there are people out there that have a great number of questions about how those buildings fell the way that they fell. What really happened on 9/11? Was it what it appeared, what we were told it was? Simply that some planes crashed into the buildings and the buildings fell down afterwards. Well, the best evidence, I know this as an attorney, is eyewitness evidence as to, if you're attempting to reconstruct a scene, the best witness is eyewitness testimony. And there are men that have testified, or one man that has testified, and people have said that something else happened in that building on September 11th. We have joining us this morning Greg S. Seismansky. He's a reporter, the American Free Press and Arctic Beacon. He's joining us from L.A. Greg has written extensively on what happened on 9/11. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. Greg, we may not know really, we may be mistaken about what happened on 9/11.
Well, we're not only mistaken. I am 100% sure, after interviewing a number of people, and especially one gentleman by the name of William Rodriguez, that what occurred in that building that morning, especially in the North Tower that morning, wasn't as the government said. And if I could just run down, basically the official story from day one has never changed, and they said that jet fuel from the airplane that hit the tower on the higher floors caused the building to collapse. Well, Mr. Rodriguez had a different story to tell, and his story goes something like this.
Well, if we could back up just a little before we get to his story, you've also written about people that have come in, and scientists that have evaluated the building, the way that the buildings have fallen, the way that the buildings fell, and they said that they couldn't have fallen like that.
Well, of course, what they said was basically that. The government basically contended that the fuel heated the buildings to a sufficient degree, which weakened the structures and brought it down in a pancake-like fashion. However, scientists on the other side and engineers that have looked at this, and even I've talked to a jet pilot who has flown for American Airlines and United Airlines for 35 years and has flown planes like supposedly hit the World Trade Center. And he said that it would be impossible for this to occur. One, that the planes, 90%, almost 90% of the fuel burnt outside. Secondly, jet fuel burns cold, not hot, and would never have reached a temperature high enough to bring down the towers as it did. Also, there's never been a high-rise building ever that has gone down just by an airplane strike. So you have testimony on both sides scientifically, of course, which, as you know as a lawyer, is looked at and weighed depending on the credibility. However, when there is a dispute such as this, the next thing that's going to happen is that in any criminal investigation, you're going to want to get people who are actually there to help bring a jury, or in this case the American public, to some kind of conclusion. And that's where Mr. Rodriguez comes in.
So let's talk about Mr. Rodriguez.
Well,
how did you find him?
Well, first of all, about a year ago, I believe it was, there was a federal lawsuit filed in Philadelphia by an attorney by the name of Phil Berg. And he has filed a RICO lawsuit against President Bush and about 50 other defendants, claiming that there was a conspiracy to bring about 9/11 or foreknowledge of 9/11 before, during, and after the fact. And in this complaint, William Rodriguez is the lead plaintiff. And so because of that, I wrote a number of stories about this lawsuit and the statements made by Mr. Rodriguez or through Mr. Berg. And then finally, I believe it was about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, Mr. Rodriguez contacted me, and we began talking. And I was astounded at what I learned and what I didn't know and what the American people have not known. First of all, Mr. Rodriguez was in the North Tower. He'd worked for the World Trade Center for 20 years. Okay. On September 11th, Mr. Rodriguez came to work about a half hour late. He usually gets to work about 8 o'clock for a miracle of fate. That probably saved his life, because he normally goes up to the Windows of the World restaurant, which is up at the top of the towers, and would have been in direct contact with the with the plane strike. But at this time, Mr. Rodriguez was down in a sub-level basement one office.
What was his job?
He was the head of maintenance,
mm-hmm.
and also was the only person that had a key to all the stairwells that
mm-hmm.
morning. And it'll play into that's a very important fact if you listen to what occurred that morning. This is Mr. Rodriguez talking now. He came to work at 8:30 instead of 8 o'clock. So he went down into a sub-level one basement. You should know that the World Trade Center has 6 sub-levels. And he was in a sub-level one basement, so it's the first floor of the basement. And he's in an office with 14 other people. Now, remember what I said, 14 other people. He's not alone. When, out of nowhere, he hears a blast. Now, the blast comes from below him, which at the time, and all the other 14 people hear this, which at the time, what happens is the floor shakes, walls begin to crack, and it's a massive explosion, he thinks, as do the others, from below.
But wait a minute, and if we could just stop for a second just to let people resonate with what you're saying, he's in a sub-basement.
Right.
His floor is shaking, which means that it's beneath him.
Exactly. Well, just as fast as you could say, you know, wow, well, it's a bomb that hit, which he did say, they hear a distant blast above, okay? And he was, and this happened seconds later, here's a blast above, and that came from he didn't know at the time, but that was the airplane that hit above. So But what he's saying and what these 14 people will verify,
okay,
is that they heard a sound prior to the airplane hitting. Now, to even make this testimony more compelling to a jury and to the American people, a few seconds after that, in comes a man by the name of Felipe David. He worked for a company called Aramac Company, which was a beverage company, and he was busy working on the sub-level about 200 or 300 feet away at a front of an elevator shaft. And what Mr. David recalls, and I have got his testimony on tape, which was made a year after 9/11, he recalls all of a sudden a big explosion below him. He then feels heat generating and then flashing through the elevator. He then throws himself to the floor and is burnt severely on his face, hands, and arms. And he says, while on the floor, "My God, I'm going to die. Help me." So he gets some strength. He gets up and he runs to the office where Mr. Rodriguez is at. And Mr. Rodriguez and the 14 others look at Mr. David, and he's got skin hanging from his arms and legs, or arms and hands. And my God, he runs in yelling, "Explosion, explosion, explosion." So at that time, what Mr. Rodriguez does is he takes Mr. David and the other people, they run out of the World Trade Center to the top. And Mr. David then is taken to an ambulance. So at the same time, Mr. Rodriguez then notices, some time passes, and he notices up above, I believe at this time he notices that there's an airplane strike above. Well, he goes back into the building against police orders. Basically, a policeman, fireman try to stop him and say, "You can't go in." And he says, "The hell I can. I got to help my friends." Well, anyway, he runs back into the World Trade Center, goes down to the 14th floor, or goes down to the sub-level 1 elevator, and runs into a gentleman. Here's some people screaming in an elevator. And in this elevator is a gentleman by the name of Salvatore Giambanco, who worked as a painter in the WTC. And he's with another person who he doesn't know who it is. And they are screaming. And they are trapped between a B2 and B3 elevator.
So, again, sub-basement
right.
level.
Well, they heard. Now, Mr. Giambanco's testimony is this, and this was made to a Colombian TV station on the year anniversary of 9/11, which was never aired in America and completely ignored by the 9/11 Commission and all newspapers. And this is an interesting part of the story that I'd like to tell. Once I get in, I'll hold Mr. Giambanco's testimony until I explain what happened. Along with another gentleman who's also come forward named Felipe Sanchez, who was on the fourth sublevel, who talks about the same explosion. Well, anyway, I have their stories also, which are on my website and also be appearing in the American Free Press. Now, what happened was all this stuff is out in the open for everybody to know. And this is no secret 4 years later now, and I'm not sitting here breaking a story that nobody knew about. Well, the Colombian TV station already published or had already aired their statements in 2002 in Colombian Spanish. Well, here's what happened to Mr. Rodriguez and to the other people so far. Mr. Rodriguez was declared a national hero for saving numerous lives that day, and I can get into that part later. He'd been cajoled and taken to the White House and declared a national hero. But when it came time for his story to be told, here's how the media treated him. First,
I need you to hold on that because
okay.
we have to take a break. I'm talking to Greg Szymanski. He's a reporter, the American Free Press, and Arctic Beacon. He is joining us from L.A., California. And this is Liz Brown on the Wake-Up Call. This is amazing stuff, folks. This is amazing stuff. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I don't care.
following is a best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920. Stick around. We'll give you more of the best of the wake-up call following these messages and traffic and weather. And good morning. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Apple Fest. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit on Broadway, there is construction work. Eastbound 70th Blanchett Bridge, there's construction work. The right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stages of that, and there are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between Richardson and River de Pere, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and Lindbergh, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 at the Boone Bridge and Mason, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway all the way into Jennings Station. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 between 55 and Doherty Ferry. Everything is on the move. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way to Washington Elizabeth. Nothing to report. Westbound 5570 split between 3rd Street and Tudor. Look for no problems there. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue all the way on to the PSB. Everything looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the railroad overpass on to Memorial. Look for no problems there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto to the Poplar Street Bridge. Nothing to report there as well. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Apple Fest. Apple Fest is going on now at Eckert's, so bring the whole family out to apple picking, tractor rides, music, and lots of country fun. Eckert's in Belleville, Grafton, and Millstadt. For more information, visit Eckert's.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of showers, and a possible thunderstorm this afternoon, high around 90. This evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call as Liz Brown is on vacation until Monday. Join us in the 7 o'clock hour during the wake-up call when Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown. Until then, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Join Sister Ruby Somerville Dixon for Something Old, Something New every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on WGNU. It's a delightful mix of the latest gospel sounds plus traditional favorites with a blend of church calendar activities. Listen for Something Old, Something New with Ruby Somerville Dixon Saturday mornings at 6:30 right here on WGNU.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's the one-of-a-kind Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys. Be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The Yo-Stick is totally new, the next generation of yo-yo. Learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo-Stick performers. Kids Expo is the place to check out the latest in family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
We now take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You can catch me on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. That's where we broadcast live, and you can always pick up an hour of the show, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six, at whiterosesociety.org, where the Wake Up Call is archived daily. Check me out at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN.com, or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are talking this morning to Greg Szymanski. He's a reporter, the American Free Press, and Arctic Beacon. He's joining us from L.A., and we are talking about one of the most incredible stories that you've never heard before, what really happened on 9/11. Greg, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
And you were talking about how the press treated Mr. Rodriguez.
Yeah, and this is probably one of the most amazing stories, makes it even more suspect of what happened. Basically, you would think, with all that eyewitness testimony, and I didn't get into Mr. Giambanco's testimony when he was in an elevator, trapped, and hearing the same explosion, and also Mr. Felipe Sanchez on B4, hearing the same explosion and experiencing the same things, you would think that all this testimony would be greeted with open arms by the press and by the 9/11 Commission. However, it was just the opposite. It's been a concealed effort over the last 4 years to keep these gentlemen quiet, to the point where Mr. Rodriguez has even been warned by reporters for some of the bigger publications, advising him in kind of a subtle intimidation to, why don't you, you don't know who you're dealing with, why don't you just, keep quiet. Well, Mr. Rodriguez, from the beginning, has been on a mission, and the reason he's wants to tell the truth and tell this to the American people and will not stop is because he lost 200 friends there, along with 3,000 people in the building that he worked with for 20 years. And he believes that the only thing that America should expect is at least a forthright truth and investigation into this, which they haven't gotten. And if you listen to what happened to him afterwards, you'll see that something strange is going on inside the media. And I call it a media blackout on the major stories.
Mr. Rodriguez is joining us.
Oh, great.
We've got him. William Rodriguez, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. God bless you and everybody that is listening right now.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for joining the show. Greg has been bringing us up to speed, but I know that the listeners would love to hear from your voice, William. What happened on 9/11? Can you tell us in your own words?
9/11, 8:46, I was at the basement of the North Tower, the sub-level number one. That's where all the support offices for the whole complex were located, and that's where my company was located. I was there talking to a supervisor when I heard a huge explosion, and it shook so hard the floor, and it came out from below. I felt that it came from below, and number one, I was there for 20 years. I knew the difference that of something coming from the top, from the side, or from downstairs. Number two, it was a microsecond, because when I went to verbalize it, I thought at that moment that it was an electrical generator that blew up on the mechanical room right below us. When I went to verbalize it, then I heard another explosion, but that was the impact coming from far away, and it felt that it was coming from the top. So it was a big difference, and a couple of seconds, one after the other. At that moment, a person comes running into the office screaming, explosion, explosion, explosion. and this poor guy had all his skin pulled from under his armpit all the way to the top of the fingertips, and he was missing pieces of his face. And I said, what happened? And he said, the elevators, the elevators. And
these are the
everybody
basement.
Was screaming.
These are the basement elevators.
The basement, yeah. And actually, he worked for a company called Automark, which does the supplies for all the vending machines. And he was doing an inventory in a little room down there. And apparently, he said that he heard this huge explosion and flames coming all over and a heat wave burning him. He put his hands in front of his face to try to cover from the burning situation. And that's how his skin got all pulled out. And so he made it to our office. There were 14 people there, all screaming. And I said, don't move. I'm going to call the EMS, which were located on the other building. When I went to pick up the phone, another explosion. I was told later on that it was the jet fuel from the wings of the plane that were blowing up, something that, of course, I could not corroborate. I was just feeding what I was being fed at that moment as information. But again, I felt all this time that it was a bomb, a terrorist attack inside the basement, and so did everybody else. And we started screaming, and the floor was moving so hard, the walls cracked, everything was shaking, the false ceiling fell down, the sprinkler system got activated. And so I started pushing everybody out of the office and brought them outside the loading dock area. There I put Mr. Felipe David, which was the name of the person that was burned, inside an ambulance. And that's when I heard a plane hit the tower. When I turned around and I look up, I saw the hole, I saw the fire, I saw the debris, but it was so far away. And at the same time, I could not see the antenna because of the smoke. The smoke was so dense that it was covering the antenna all the way to the top. So I started screaming, we got to go back. The people from Windows, we got to go back. Windows of the World was the restaurant at the top of the building. And I was very concerned because, number one, I had too many friends up there. And number two, because I started every morning cleaning the stairwells. My job position was the maintenance person in charge of all the stairwells of the North Tower. So I started my routine going to the Windows of the World, having breakfast with the people over there because they gave it to us for free, and then going down doing floor by floor. The strange thing was that day I came in late. I was supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, so it was a miracle that I survived that. I would have been caught at the top. So I started running inside the building because nobody wanted to go in. As a matter of fact, everybody was saying, "You stay here. You can't go in." And I just said, the heck with everybody, and I went in by myself, and there I found two guys that were located on the other building, building one and building two, connected through the basement. And the people in the building two just came out from their own basement, and they didn't even know what was happening. And I said, you got to get out. I think there's a bomb or something. And I heard that a plane hit the building, and they couldn't believe it. So they came out. I went to the OCC, which was the Operation Control Center that they set up after the 1993 bombing. And there was nobody there. So I run back to building one, again through the basement, and I found a guy that worked for the recycling company screaming, I hear screams. And I put my ear in one of the freight elevators, and there were two people talking there screaming. You couldn't hear very well because all the sprinkler system, the switching sound, was so hard that it was muffling their screams. So I said, how many people are there? And one of the guys said, two people. There was a painter named Salvatore Giambanco and a delivery guy. And they were stuck and encapsulated between two floors, between the B2 and the B3 level. And all the water from the sprinkler systems were going down the elevator shaft, and they had the water going up on the elevator, so they were afraid that they were going to drown. And I looked around, I found a metal piece of pipe, and I broke the door mechanism, and when I saw that it was too deep, I started screaming, oh my God, God help me, what can I do? And I just remembered that in the area where they had the trash compactors, the electricians, they always have ladders that they used to do work around the area, but they always tied them up with chains so nobody will steal them. So I went running, and I said, God, please let me find one. And the incredible thing that the longest one of it, it was an 18-foot long ladder, was not chained. I took it, I dropped it inside the elevator shaft, opened the grate, got them both out, took them outside the building, put them in an ambulance, and went back running inside the building. Again, everybody screaming not to go in there. As I get in, I found Police Officer David Lim from the Port Authority Department, and he said, Willie, do you have the key? He meant the master key. I have the only master key available that opened all the doors in the building on the North Tower at that moment. And I said, yes, follow me. And we went to the lobby. The fire department was there waiting. And I told them, don't wait for the elevator. The elevator is gone. Follow me. I have the key. And they followed me. And we went floor by floor, opening the doors and letting people out. And the crazy thing is that the building was a Class A building. That meant that because it was such a skyscraper, over 50 floors up, they have to, or they needed to have some kind of safety system, and it was that three doors will not open from the stairwell, and one will open, and one open all the way to the top.
Oh, my God.
They did that in case that if it was a fire, the building would not be consumed in a matter of minutes, and they may be able to maybe sacrifice a floor or two, but they'd be able to save as much people as possible. And that's a standard codification that they have in there. So it was kind of crazy. So that's why that master key was so crucial at that moment. And as we went up floor by floor...
You went up 50 floors.
I'm sorry?
You went up 50 floors.
No, I went up to 39 floors. 39 floors. As I went up, I heard different kind of explosions. And on those explosions, at 903, Building 2 gets hit. When Building 2 gets hit, it shake our building so hard that you hear kind of a rubble. And then at the same time, I continue hearing little explosions on different floors above me. And on the 34th floor, I heard something that was very strange. I heard very strange movements on the top of the floor. And strange movement because it was an empty floor. That was a construction site. As we speak, I will tell you that the floor was closed. You could not get there by an elevator. You have to get there through the stairwell. The stairwell were closed. And to hear these kind of movements was very strange for me. So I got scared, and I actually continued by myself because the actual fire department, they all completely collapsed on the floor. They couldn't continue going up because it was so hard for them because of the amount of equipment that they have in their bags. So I continued going up, and when I get to the top of the 39th floor, I'm met there by the police officer from the other stairwell and two lieutenants from the fire department. As we are speaking at that moment, it's 9:56, we hear another huge explosion, and apparently Building 2 started to collapse. And inside our building, the North Tower, something that you don't see on the videos, you hear boom, 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 boom. And it's collapsing inside the building, and you hear, we lost 65, we lost 65, on the police or fire department radio. We have three different kind of frequencies there, so I cannot pinpoint which one was it. And meaning that the 65th floor collapsed floor by floor up to the sky lobby, which was the 44th floor. And I'm on the 39th floor. We're only five flights away. And I go into a frenzy, we got to go up. And the police officer told me, Willie, you've done enough, but you don't get paid for this. Get out. And I said, no, I'm going to continue going up. He said, no, listen, you're still a civilian. Get out. Better if you give me a hand with the person that is on a wheelchair. There was a person on a wheelchair on the 27th floor that was having an asthma attack. And he was put on a gurney to try to bring him down. But, again, the fire department was so tired and so exhausted of all those stairwells that, they were just hanging around on the corridor. And I ran down. I said to the police officer, I will go down. I will take this guy out, but I'm coming right back. I'm not giving the key to anybody.
Mm.
So I went down running to the 27th floor, and I said, I have orders by the police department to get this guy out right now. Three firemen stood up, said, let's go. I took part of the gurney and all the other trees, and we started going down the stairwell. As we go down the stairwell, the building started to collapse, building one. And I'm sorry, it's the South Tower. And it was horrible because it's pieces and chunks of concrete falling all over us, and the walls cracked. You could see right through the shiprock. You could hear screams of people stuck on in the elevators. It was horrible. And the smoke was an acrid smoke between of a smell of sulfur and ammonia that stuck into your throat. I remember going down and actually smelling the rug on one of the floors because I looked down and I started screaming if there was not somebody here to follow my voice. And I could feel the wetness of the rug itself because of the sprinkler system. And I continue going down with these people. And as we get to the lobby, now one of the firemen looks at me and said, get the ambulance ready. But now I'm in shock because when I look up, I see all that beautiful marble that was inside the building totally pulled from the walls. The only thing that you saw was cement patches where the marble was before. I looked to the left, and the whole plaza was collapsed. The mezzanine was gone. And I said, oh, my God, what happened? What is this? It looked like a war zone, very done task. And the guy said, get the ambulance ready. So I walked towards my right, towards the West Side Avenue. And as I get closer to the exit or to the entrance of the building, I see that there's not a glass intact. Everything is gone. There's no glass nowhere. It's all shattered. There's dust, this gray dust everywhere. And I get to the front of the revolving doors. When I get to the front of the revolving doors, they're gone. There's no revolving doors. They're broken. And I'm there on that little cubicle, that area. And I hear screams from a block and a half away. It's the police department. They have the area cordoned out, screaming, don't look back, don't look back. So the first thing I do, I look back because I don't want to get hit by anything. It's just human nature. And when I turn around, what I see is all the bodies of the people that jump out of the buildings scattered on the floor. And you couldn't recognize their faces or their bodies because it was horrible. It just, the impact itself, it's like they melted on the floor. And I said, God, what is this? Oh, my God. And I look up and I see half of the Marriott Hotel is collapsed, is gone. And all of a sudden, and this is microsecond, Liz. This is, one fragment of a second after another. I hear, run. And I feel like an earthquake right under my feet. And the only thing I see is a fire truck right in front of the revolving doors parked by the fire department to evacuate the building. And so I start running, and I said, this is going to kill me. This building, if you put it sideways, it goes up to Chinatown. It's so tall. Mm. So the only thing I said, this is going to kill me. So I slid right under the fire truck, and as I put my leg in, the building started to collapse right on top. And you could hear boom, 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 boom. And the fire truck going down, and the only thing I remember saying was, God, please don't let my mother see my body in parts. Mm-hmm. Let her recognize my body. Please, let her recognize my body. Because I figured it was going to be a horrible death. So I started to concentrate there. I said, let me make it last as much as I can. And the building, all of a sudden, when I finished saying that, everything stopped, and this huge wind of dust and heat went under every orifice of the fire truck, and it burnt my face, my eyes, burnt my leg. It was horrible. I couldn't breathe. I remember that it was so bad. But apparently, they were actually filming from across the street, the media, some media outlets, and they pinpointed right away to the rescue efforts. They said, the last person came out from that area, and they pinpointed the area, and they started looking around that area, and that's how several hours later I was pulled from the rubble. When I was pulled from the rubble, I had a fire safety jacket that was given to me to actually help on the evacuation. And they thought I was one of the firemen. I remember when I was pulled out, there was dust everywhere. You couldn't see anything. And I saw a flashlight and a person screaming, this way, follow me, follow me. So I went to the, towards the flashlight, and I saw the word ambulance backwards. I got there, and I got oxygen. And after I got the oxygen, I recovered for 15 minutes. I went running back to where I was pulled from, because this is at the epicenter of Ground Zero. I'm talking about, probably 400 feet away. And so I started looking around to see if there was somebody else around. And I found trucks everywhere, fire trucks. And I remember there was a bridge that connected the World Trade Center with the World Financial Center, and that collapsed, and right under there were fire trucks. I went under, and I saw two boots. I pulled the boots trying to get something out, and I got just the boots. And inside the boot was one leg, and I started screaming, "Oh, God, help, help, help. There's one here, there's one here." And this rush of firemen went in there trying to help me. And as they tried to go under the truck, somebody started screaming again, "This way, this way, there's one of ours here." And we went running the other way. We found a guy. We pulled him out, and it was a fireman, and we put it on a gurney. And as we went to the front of the ambulance, he exhaled. He never made it. Mm-hmm. And stayed there for several hours, continued doing the rescue effort, even though I was hurt. And I have no time to worry about what was happening. I was, you know, the adrenaline was going through my veins nonstop. And then
William,
taken out from the area.
William, we have to. We're coming to the top of the hour. Can I ask both of you, Greg and William, can you stay over to the next hour?
Sure.
Can you stay over, William? Okay. We're going to go to the top of the news. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. This is just an amazing story. We have much more to bring to you in the next hour. We'll be back. And don't forget, you can catch this hour on WhiteRoseSociety.org. Archived daily, the wake-up call, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get this. Give it to your friends.
Following has been the best of the wake-up call. We will bring you the conclusion of this tomorrow morning in the 6 o'clock hour right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is on vacation. She will return on Monday, the 12th. Stick around after the 7 o'clock hour. However, Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her right here on AM 920 WGNU.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. the bar director is healing the wound. That's a low name.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Searching for survivors, finding bodies.
As the water recedes, we need a house-by-house search. We need to knock on doors. We need to make sure that we know where people are at, and we need to advise them they need to leave the city.
Coast Guard Vice Admiral Thad Allen in New Orleans. There's a growing concern about the risk posed by toxic floodwaters.
The water is contaminated with raw sewage, toxic chemicals, and the dead. Doctors say they're now treating rescue workers who have contracted infectious diseases. And officials expect billions of mosquitoes to infest the area, some carrying the West Nile virus. The mayor is so concerned about the health of his citizens, he has ordered police to use force if necessary to remove all remaining holdouts.
ABC's Andrea Canning in New Orleans, the task of removing bodies has begun. ABC's Bob Schmidt has more on that.
ABC News can confirm 295 deaths related to Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. But with many areas still being searched, the expectations are the death toll will rise sharply. FEMA has ordered the body bags, 25,000 of them, according to officials here in Louisiana.
FEMA says it does not want the news media to take pictures of the bodies. It has refused all requests for journalists to accompany mortuary teams in the New Orleans area. The Pentagon imposed a similar restriction on the Iraqi war dead. This military commander, a veteran of Iraq, is now on storm duty in Pass Christian, Mississippi.
The shocking thing for me that is, you know, I'm flying across parts of the United States and the sheer utter devastation is worse than anything I saw in Iraq.
This man owns a store in that same town.
The most important thing is the family. If you got a heartbeat now, you're doing good. And we're going to come back.
We're going to come back.
We're going to come back strong.
Vice President Cheney meets officials in the Gulf today. Congress is working on a $52 billion aid bill, and FEMA will give debit cards to some survivors. This is ABC News.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Whether you run a small business or a busy household, the UPS store wants you to remember these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
At the UPS store, we have a lot of different ways to help you. We have packing and shipping experts. We can print, copy, collate, and bind presentations. We can even set you up with a mailbox at our store. So the next time you have a lot to do, just think of these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The UPS store, the place for packing and shipping and a whole lot more.
Some answers and some lingering mystery in the death of Yasser Arafat.
French medical records obtained by the New York Times clearly show that Yasser Arafat died last November from a stroke, but the conditions that led to that massive brain hemorrhage remain unanswered. The Times reports the stroke resulted from a bleeding disorder caused by an unidentified infection. However, medical experts tell the paper that the information dispels two rumored causes of Arafat's death, namely AIDS and poisoning. But even there, other opinions continue to differ around the world. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Video screens are in cell phones, car headrests, even elevators, and soon, tombstones. A solar-powered paddle embedded in tombstones with a video epitaph. The 5 to 7 minute video features choice moments from the life of the deceased. The head of the company, called Vidstone, says he has pre-orders for the Serenity panel. At $1,500 each, sales are expected to start next month. I'm Liz White. ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, some 6,000 Metro East students may be out of the classroom later this month. Collinsville, Illinois teachers yesterday rejected the school board's offer of a 12.5% pay raise and instead voted to take to the picket lines on September 19th. Talks between the school board and the union broke down earlier this week when teachers rallied for a 17% salary increase. Attorney General Jay Nixon is suing a St. Louis man after he allegedly redirected hurricane relief monetary donations to anti-Semitic and racist organizations. The lawsuit seeks to freeze the assets of Frank Weltner and prohibit him from soliciting funds under the guise of hurricane relief. Nixon is also asking the court to order the shutdown of the website InternetDonations.org, which serves as the central collection point for at least 10 of the hurricane relief-themed websites allegedly operated by Weltner. Nixon last month launched his Check a Charity website where donors can research charitable organizations. Coverage of Hurricane Katrina's aftermath still fills the airwaves more than a week after the storm. Kent Collins, the chair of the radio television journalism sequence at the University of Missouri-Columbia, says he does not consider the continuous coverage of the hurricane's aftermath to be oversaturation.
I think the public has been well served. I think this is a great moment for American journalism, both print and radio television.
Collins says some reporters have ventured into the area of commentary rather than staying with pure factual reporting. He says it's difficult for reporters on the scene of the devastation to keep their opinions out of the story. A Midwest animal dealer faces up to 10 years behind bars for what's being called the most notorious animal abuse case in U.S. history. C.C. Baird, the owner of Martin Creek Kennels in Arkansas, has pleaded guilty to felony charges of conspiracy to launder money in an operation involving the sale of dogs and cats, many of which were stolen, to research labs. The USDA revoked Baird's license earlier this year. Jefferson College and the University of Missouri-Columbia severed their relationship with the Bears amid the investigation. Finally this hour, the Rams were a reasonably healthy unit upon returning to the practice field on Wednesday after a day off. Defensive back Terry Fair was the only Ram to not practice and is listed as questionable for Sunday's game in San Francisco. Defensive tackle Ryan Pickett is questionable with a lingering lower back ailment. Those listed as probable include defensive tackle Damian Lewis, who has a toe injury, and running back Arlen Harris, who suffered a concussion earlier in the preseason. Guard Claude Terry Earl has a sore shin but can likely dress if the team needs him. 49ers tight end Eric Johnson is listed as doubtful with a bad foot, while center Jeremy Newberry is probable despite a knee injury. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the American Red Cross. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Star Registry. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge is road construction. Right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stage of bridge work there. There are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between Richardson and the River de Pere, look for no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Lewis all the way into Lindbergh, nothing to report at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway into St. Charles Rock Road looks good. Northbound 270 is a little slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into Washington Elizabeth, you have stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, there's road construction going on there, and that exit ramp is closed. You can use 11th Street exit as an alternate. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for no tie-ups at this hour. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue onto the PSB. It's a little slow at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. Look for no problems to report in this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift. International Star Registry at 1-800-STAR. 1-800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly cloudy skies today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high around 90 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in around 70. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned now for the wake-up call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith. She's filling in for Liz Brown, who will be back on Monday the 12th. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on four continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I have three children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a two-bedroom apartment with eight people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home. And when Mary started building her house, I want to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the door to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
You know, it must have been cold standing there in my shadow. You never had the sunlight on your face. But you know, you were content to let me shine while you even walked a few steps behind. And I was the one with all the glory while you were the one behind me with all that strength. Just a face without a name, but I never even once heard you complain.
Heroes. Thank you, St. Louis. Thank you, Americans, for all that you are doing to help our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by the hurricane. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Oh my, we're going to have a lot of discussion today about relief efforts and looking at how our state is trying to assist, or perhaps maybe how some, unfortunately, some blocks may be being put in place not to allow hurricane victims into Missouri, and to really kind of limit the number of hurricane victims that come into Missouri. But anyway, good morning. It is a beautiful morning. It looks like it's going to be up in the 90s again today. But we're not complaining, because through it all, we are extremely blessed. I'm going to go to the phone lines. It looks like we've got a call from San Francisco, and we're going to talk to David. Good morning. Good morning, David.
Yes, morning, Irene. Good to hear your voice. This is David out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know, I was listening paying attention to this New Orleans business. It's pretty apparent that there's a timeline that's going around. St. Louis doesn't get Air America, but if people go to the website airamerica.com, many of the talk show hosts have got a timeline about what's going on down in New Orleans, and especially involving the Bush lack of response. And this idea that, as you're probably well aware, there was a Supreme Court ruling just a month or so ago that said that cities and states can essentially take private property through eminent domain and use them for economic growth. In previous U.S. history, this was a very difficult prospect for the government to take your property, only if there was a real need to build a highway or something that was a real necessity. It may be build a bridge, and that was the only crossing point on a river. But in this case, now the excuse to just use it for economic growth creates a whole different necessity. They can take neighborhoods that were completely viable. They can take businesses that are completely viable and just give them over to some big old corporation. Well, to look at this timeline of what's happened in New Orleans, it makes it really plain that that Bush and his cronies are essentially looking at New Orleans as an opportunity to test this out. That essentially, through their failure to show up, they made the problem much worse. They've created far more death, far more deaths, and you know, far more the forced evacuations. Even just moments ago on C-SPAN, they've had a number of different congressmen on that are really surprised at the idea that they would take these victims of Hurricane Katrina and ship them up to Washington State and Oregon and Vermont and everywhere else, rather than there are places, Memphis and Mississippi, Texas, of course, but a whole variety of different places that can take them. And many of these communities are, you know, willing to take them with open arms, but they're being shipped to various places with no explanation.
Exactly.
And this whole idea that when you take homeowners and ship them a few thousand miles away, and then you create court cases that are going to take away their property, and they're not going to be available. In many cases, some of these people are being lost in the paperwork. I don't know if you had heard this thing yesterday, but they had 500 people that they shipped to, was it Columbia, North Carolina, and they were supposed to go to South Carolina?
Right.
And they just... they don't even know where these 500 people are.
There is going to be a great deal of it. It's just simply amazing the lack of a database that is does not exist.
Well, that's right.
So to speak. And I think that what you're saying with respect to the intent certainly has some basis. It's going to be interesting, and we were talking about, in fact, a bus driver from the St. Louis area called in and was talking with the vice president of his union, Alderman Troop, and he was talking about why the people, that's exactly why the people don't want to leave. Many of them believe that they will not be allowed to come back once New Orleans is rebuilt. And if you follow the discussions very closely when they talk about the levee buildup, you know, a lot of the area, like the Ninth Ward, that was a very poor area of New Orleans, is my understanding. And, you know, that may not exist anymore at all. So I think it's a lot of...
what you mean they would actually flood it? Or?
They will either flood it or they would extend the levee out or something to that effect, but it would probably not exist. Certainly it won't exist the way it has in the past. And as you know, the majority of employees in the state, in the city of New Orleans, African American, a lot of them poor. Most of the jobs are tourist jobs. So it's gonna be a tremendous challenge. But it's interesting, and I'm looking very closely at how our state is handling this situation. And initially I started thinking, and of course is your first reaction is, oh, get these people out of this situation wherever you can get them to. But then when you think about it, you know that others who have plans are always planning, and they're not necessarily looking out for the best interests of the individuals. And in the, say, for example, in the city of St. Louis, I was talking actually to Liz, and she said, you know, why did they put the people way out at the hangar? At the airport, you know, they're not connected to anything in the city. And so it's going to be interesting. This afternoon at 3, Larry Rice is going to have a press conference to discuss relocation, and if all goes well, I plan to be there. Thanks so much for your call,
well, no
David.
Trouble. I was going to say, though, it would seem to me that if people really wanted to help in New Orleans, a legal a team of lawyers to be able to track this and get started on the legal aspects of whether or not Say, for example, if these people, you know, the Bush administration
intentionally
allowed this, and then they set up failure after failure after failure, essentially sabotaged.
I think what you're saying is right, David. I've got a full board,
I
want to try to move along.
Like a legal defense for the residents would make a lot of sense, too.
I think you're very much on point there, and that's something that certainly, hopefully, the National Bar Association and others will be certainly looking into. A number of lawyers also have been displaced in New Orleans, so hopefully they will be in the forefront of it.
Sure.
All right.
Have a good morning.
You too. Have a good day. Good morning.
Good morning. This is the Rev.
All right. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I have a book here. It's entitled The God of Second Chances, and I just like to read just a short paragraph.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Change is never easy, especially after years of living a certain way. Responding to God's call to change can be painful because it often requires a transformation beyond what we thought possible. Nevertheless, what is impossible for us to achieve alone is possible through the power of God. Change is always difficult, no matter what the situation entails. We grow comfortable and choose to ignore aspects of our lives that need improvement. But sometimes God asks us to make adjustments in areas we would rather just leave alone. Sometimes He asks us to change a career. Other times it's a change in our perspective about money or priorities. Change is never easy, especially after years of living a certain way. May God continue to bless all of us.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Brother Reverend indicated that situations such as this, you know, gives a great opportunity for us to reflect on areas of our lives in which we need to improve, and certainly is certainly underscores what is really important in life. You know, our society has become a very materialistic society. Above all, we have become a me-I material society. And so, as the brother just read, this is a chance for all of us, and not simply the direct hurricane victims, because in a way, we are all victims of that hurricane because of the impact. I've seen the impact that it's had on individuals who were not even there. But certainly the most devastating aspect of it is on the individuals who were there. But I think Brother makes a very good point of saying that this is a time for us to look at our lives, you know, see what the perfect purpose that God has on our life, for those that so believe, and to see if we are ordering our life in accordance with how we are being drawn by the Spirit to do so. I'm going to go to the car phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene.
How are
My
you?
My prayers go out to all those down there that are suffering so much. I want to talk about what Dave was talking about, this eminent domain, which I think is a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of Bush hating going on. You know, most of these people that have been displaced don't own those homes that they were displaced from. A huge number of them lived in public housing. The other lived in those run-down clapboard.
Well,
you've seen them, those wooden
let me say this. Hold on.
Slum yards are renting out to them.
Hold on.
They're not going to rebuild those anyway.
They may not, but a lot of people did on their properties down there.
A lot of them did on their properties. The majority did not. If you see the
we don't need to debate about that. So
no, I'm talking about eminent domain. My point is that they don't need eminent domain to clear that out.
They don't need eminent domain to clear it out. But
right,
they
the landlords aren't going to rebuild those houses. Why would they? You know, you're in a city that's 14 foot below the level of the Mississippi River, the biggest river on the North American continent.
I think
it's insane to rebuild that city.
Okay, that's what you think. And,
well,
and what I think
me,
what David...
Why would you...
Hold on, David. You asked me a question. Give me an opportunity to answer it.
Go ahead.
Car phone, give me an opportunity to answer
it. Go ahead.
First of all, I think his point was this. The point was, no, you don't need eminent domain to clear it out, but you need eminent domain to take possession of it to do what you want to do with it. And I think that was his point. Certainly what you're saying with respect to the conditions of some of the property in the area is very well taken. You're absolutely on point there. But on the other hand, there were individuals who did own their property, such as my family, whose home was in the flood area as well, and we are very pleased to say that they are here in St. Louis with us at this time. But they own two pieces of property in New Orleans. And what he is saying is, you know, yes, don't need it, eminent domain to clear it out, but the possession of it and the future use of it, eminent domain may be well be used. And I think his point is very well taken.
Was your family insured on their losses on their property?
Yes, they were.
Well, then do you think that they should take that money and rebuild back in that floodplain?
I think that they should do whatever they want to do. You know, I think that just as there are several floodplains all over this area, okay?
No worse than that.
Okay, well, maybe not. But the fact of the matter...
on the continent of the United States.
Well, perhaps it is. Perhaps what you're saying is totally, absolutely factual. But the fact of the matter is, if it is their property and they choose to rebuild there, so be it. But what David was saying is he does not think that those people will get the opportunity to do so.
If I can ask you one question, then I'll be off.
Okay.
Do you think that now your family is privately insured, covered for their losses, then should they receive any help from the federal government, in other words, from the rest of us taxpayers, to rebuild, or should they just accept the fact that if rebuild, their insurance rate should reflect the risk that they're taking?
First of all, it will be some time to come before they even settle with the insurance company. And just as our government goes all over this world helping individuals who suffer devastation, certainly those individuals who have been impacted, including my family members, should receive some help for the government relative to that.
And then we have no right to demand that they don't rebuild there, so that we don't have to go through this all over again, which we will. There's no doubt we will. At least every 30 years.
We're at the bottom of the hour. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
But I've got it right here in my heart. I want you to know that I know the truth.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit, there's construction work going on. That exit is closed. You can use 11th Street to get around there. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, there's road construction. The right lane is closed as crews are putting the final stages on bridge work. There are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between Richardson and River de Pere, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 is slow from Merrimack River Bridge all the way into 270. Eastbound 40 from Boone's Crossing into Mason Road, look for sluggish traffic, and then slow again from 270 into Ballas. Eastbound 70 from 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to 170, look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit to Broadway is closed. And westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue to PSB, look for slow traffic, and particularly in the right lanes as you approach the off-ramps to getting onto northbound 55. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic, and northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. You have slow traffic as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of showers. Possible thunderstorms this afternoon. The high should be around 90 this evening. Partly cloudy skies with a low around 70. Friday, partly sunny or mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call, the award-winning Wake Up Call, with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown, who will be back on Monday the 12th. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loves the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open weekends. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Higher than an eagle, you are the wing beneath me. Well, we got a lot going on, a lot of opinions about New Orleans. Whether or not people should have help on rebuilding. I think the city planners and the commercial interests and things of that nature certainly will have an impact on that, and that's what I think the call David from San Francisco was talking about, is that eminent domain could possibly be used to take the land. We're not talking about clearing the land. Certainly they will not need eminent domain to do that. And New Orleans has one of the largest ports in the world. So a lot of factors will come into play in deciding what will happen to New Orleans after the water is drained and things are cleared off. I'm going to go to the car phone, and then I see you out there, Brother Troop. I'm going to get to you.
Yes, good morning. Irene?
Yes, sir.
The Korean veteran, you are saying some of the things that I was planning on calling in about. You know, I want to say this. I've retired and been retired for years. But when I was working there with people in this city and around here crying about our taxes, you know, the poor people that needed relief, and these people talking about my taxes is going to these people, and they were complaining about the people on welfare. I used to tell them, I say, damn it, you got a job yourself, but you only 1 to 2 paydays away from relief of being on welfare. I want them to keep welfare. But the thing where I had to call in, I've been listening day and night and taping this for historical purposes, and I heard the people, most of them trying to put the blame on the mayor. And then you had FEMA and all these other organizations, and the governor was supposed to take care of it. They've been complaining. I listen all night long. They're complaining that the government is planning to give $2,000 credit cards to some of the people. And I just want to say that they should have fixed those levies years ago. And I can't blame these people for trying to stay in their homes, because I'm born and raised here in America, and there's nothing that the Americans won't do to take and scrounge up and take these people's property. And that's one of the Mississippi River, all the oil and port, everything that goes out has to come through that port. And I think they ought to pay these people for their land.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
If you just say Irene, you don't have to say the J.
Well, I like J. Smith. Let me tell you, that little fella, that little white fella that called in, let me be very clear, the second time. I mean, the first caller must have hit a real sore spot with him, because his racism was rabid, it was ignorant, it was blind. He was sitting up talking about our tax dollars, as if poor people and black people don't pay taxes. You know, the fact of the matter is, poor people and black people pay a disproportionate amount of taxes into the system, because they are poor and because of the tax structure. So the money don't belong to him, and it's arrogant and ignorant for him to think that the money comes from him. And that is the epitome of racism. And you don't realize that until you start handling public funds. Then you can really see why people think like he thinks. The other thing I want to make, the last time I checked, the New Orleans Inland Water Port, the Inland Water Ports is the largest one in the country, and they have more tonnage than any other port in the country. And I think they're followed by Memphis, and then St. Louis is somewhere like 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere along the line. The other issue that's really critical, I think, and that is that was the floodplains. Everything west of Highway 270 in St. Louis County along Highway 70 is floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stuff in West County is in the floodplain.
Ask the people out in Chesterfield.
Chesterfield in floodplain. And it's okay for white people to be reimbursed when they build and live in the floodplains, and then the federal government insure them to live in the floodplain. But then when blacks become because of this tragedy, the benefactors of federal support, because they're in the floodplain, then the name of the game changes. They're saying, well, they shouldn't be able to move back. Well, look at St. Genevieve in the last flood. They wiped St. Genevieve out. They didn't move in. And it's in the floodplain. The whole county of St. Genevieve, it was almost flooded, was in the floodplain, and they didn't move those white people out. So that's a bunch of insanity and a total ignorance and disregard, you know, for black people. And I think that's the bottom line. Because these people are black, they don't have the right. I mean, who can argue with the flood? FEMA been around for years. They've been insuring floodplains for years. And what difference does it make if you look, the people in St. Louis County
they had personal and private insurance, but they also had FEMA flood insurance with the federal government, and they got paid twice. So why is that even an issue now? And the only reason it's an issue is because all he see is black people and poor people, and that's unfortunate, but that is the real America.
It really is. I mean, race does matter. And it certainly has come into play in this situation from the speed of the federal evacuation efforts and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I think that the caller, David from San Francisco, was on point when he talked about a watch eminent domain and how it will be used in New Orleans. And we certainly are going to be very watchful of it.
But do you know what was really interesting, Irene? He had some vision, some word from God that told him that these black people didn't own their own.
Yeah, a lot of black, I mean, even the poor, a lot of poor blacks own their, I mean, it may not be much to us, but a lot of poor blacks own some of those shanties that he referred to as shanties down there. So the fact of the matter is it is their home, and many of them are landowners, many are not. But even those that are landowners perhaps would want to see the property rebuilt, you know?
Well, all I'm saying was it was totally vertical, it was totally ignorant, and it was totally consistent with the way these angry white males think. And that's why they're suffering right now, because they all voted for Blunt rather than Claire McCaskill. And now they are dying on the vine.
All right. Thank you. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to go to the break and we'll be back.
Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, the station where you hear clever and witty things like, wake up!
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Try your best.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy,
boy, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
Cause the woman that you love is gone.
Oh, only the strong survive.
Oh, it's gonna be, that's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life.
All right. Let's see what Mrs. Smith has to say. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. How are you?
I'm good.
This is Sheila.
Okay.
Quincy said everything that I wanted to say.
Okay.
But if that man would realize and have to remember, West Alton flooded and the people kept going back and going back, and the government was paying them. Grafton, and also down in Florida when they had the hurricane. These people are going back, but you will hear them say, I'm going back and I'm going to rebuild. Mm-hmm. But where are they getting that money from to rebuild? They're getting it from the government. They're getting it from FEMA. So why are they complaining about us? We are taxpayers. I know I'm a taxpayer.
I totally agree. I mean, it's interesting, but to, you know, just to try to be on balance in this situation, I mean, we heard some of the same thing, probably maybe not to the extent that we're hearing it now, but when it flooded in 93 here, there were people saying, you know, why should we suction that water off and then let them rebuild and then we'll be back here again, you know. So each time we hear, I mean, for the truth of the matter is a large portion of the world is water. We're all sitting where water once was.
Do they know when the end of time gets ready to come that one-third of the earth will be covered with water?
Hey.
It says it in the Bible. One-third of the earth will be dark.
So it's everybody, you know, just looking at it objectively, dispassionately, you know, people shouldn't be allowed to go in. They shouldn't be allowed to rebuild. We hear it, you know, but like I said, there is very few sections of this country and even other places in the world that we are not occupying space that was once water. So
now these people should be able to allow to do whatever they want to do. This is supposed to be a free country. You're supposed to be able to go wherever you want to go. This is supposed to be a democracy. The whole world is watching the United States, and they see how they are treating the dark-skinned people, but yet they want to go out and preach democracy and humanity.
It's hypocritical. I mean, it's hypocrisy from the very beginning. I was looking at Channel 33, and I didn't even know it came into regular television. And they were talking about the founding fathers and the Constitutional Convention, and they were really, the point I zeroed in on was John Hamilton. And it talked about how he really wanted to have a Christian constitutional organization.
Yes.
And it just amazes me how they, with a straight face, could talk about Christianity at the same time that our people were enslaved and being treated less than animals.
That's because so, when they were reading the Bible, they believed that that was the way it was supposed to be. Hmm. They've changed everything. History, as they say, this is his story.
Yeah,
where well, the history better, come from.
You better make it your story and not theirs.
I'm going to make it, man. I'm going to do everything that I can do.
Yeah, eventually a truth will rise.
It does.
All right.
It always does.
All right. You have a good day. Tell you Victor too. I said hello.
All right.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. I guess I got to turn you down. I just wanted to throw out some things that have come about in my head. I know it's going to be maybe crazy to some people, but I was looking at the fact that that levee broke. Okay, now, from my understanding, the hurricane was finished on a Monday, and the levee broke a day or so after. And then the people down there shooting. And I was just thinking, it seems like it was awful convenient that levee broke. I really believe if there was something somebody could really find out, I really believe somebody caused that levee to break. Though they knew also that the levee, they had said that levee was, they had looked at it and said these things were going to happen. Okay, if they knew these things were going to happen and could happen, why did it take them so long to go down there, steady saying, we're coming? Those people were waiting, and that's why they got in a lot of trouble. If they hadn't said they were coming, then I feel like they would have gotten out with much speed on their own. You know what I'm saying?
I really don't. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that people would have left, because for the most part, you have to understand that many of the individuals who are impacted probably did not even have the means to get out, okay? Plus, you factor in those individuals who were simply not going to leave because they had weathered the storm before. Mm-hmm. And when it reached the point where the levee had broken, it was difficult for people to get out.
Over.
And
right.
Particularly if you didn't have any mode of transportation. And we're not going to even talk about the fact that many who did get out and perhaps left later than Sunday, you know, were not even able to get gas along the way. So that's an issue as well. But the issue relative to the levees has been a long one. I was reading a clip from an article from June of last year where the director of disaster operations for the city of New Orleans was talking about the fact that money was withdrawn. I mean, he said, you know, the money was basically diverted
right.
to the efforts dealing with the war in Iraq Iraq and Afghanistan.
I understand that, but I still believe there was some shenanigans going on with the levy, simply because, I mean, it was like, oh well, okay. And then those people shooting to keep people from coming in there. I think it was more to it than that.
Well, also, there was a number of different shooting going on. If you talk to people, there were people who were shooting being lawless, but there were also people who were shooting attempting to get the attention of law enforcement personnel. You know, certainly there was the lawless factor, and a lot of people are just trouncing on that, and they want to lay on that. But for the most part, as has been said continuously on a lot of coverage, for the most part, people were just great. I mean,
right.
They were very good. They've done a lot. They helped a lot. I mean, they interviewed for yesterday a brother who saved 200 people. How did he save those people? He stole 8 boats, okay? And he said he would do it again. Now, there are those who would sit in judgment and say he ought to be ashamed of himself. He didn't have no business taking those people's boats.
I don't see any
you know,
black person saying that. I
you know,
see white people.
Well, I have heard, I have heard black people,
saying that.
I've heard black folks saying it too.
I haven't heard any
okay.
black people say that.
Well, they've said it on this radio station.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, if I were in the same situation, I would have done whatever I could to save human life, because life is far more valuable than property.
Well, we know how they feel about that. But anyway, one more thing. I also believe that I know I've asked this before, and I really know nothing.
Come
about
on, you got about 40 seconds because I want to try
I
to get another call
that
in.
A lot of that bombing that went on that disturbed the earth in Iraq from the beginning is one of the reasons that did that, all that vibrating the earth and caused that water to be more than it would have, more, you know, devastating than it has been in the past.
I don't know. You certainly should. It could have impacted the topography.
Yes.
I don't know, but
right.
That's certainly a point. Let me move on to another caller, dear. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. Bridget on the car phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. Every time I listen to something going on about this Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and what have you, I hear more people placing blame on who's done what or who hasn't done enough or who hasn't done anything at all. The one thing that people are failing to see is that you may not have been affected by it directly, but indirectly we're all affected by it, because it could have happened right here in St. Louis. It almost happened here in St. Louis when that levee burst out in, you know, what, in 93?
93.
We didn't get the of what New Orleans got, but we did feel some of the effect of what they were going through, because there was a lot of homes, a lot of businesses, a lot of land lost here. But I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, so-and-so didn't do this, or the government didn't do enough of that. Or, you know what, there will be time to work all that out later. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are people in need, there are people that are hurting, and there are people who are out there who are actual heroes that are being overlooked, just like that young man who took all those people on that bus because of the simple fact that he wanted to get out of New Orleans. To me, those people need to be applauded. And for people to sit back and continually say who's at fault and who's at blame, you know what? We don't have time for that. People don't want to hear that.
But
let me
say this, Bridget. I think that your point is well taken in terms of the countless number of heroes that exist in that situation. But I think that had it not been for the criticism of the Bush administration, because of the press coverage. That is when they started moving. Bush, keep in mind, Bush was on vacation, and it took him 2 days to call off his vacation. So I understand what you're saying. Certainly we need to reflect on what we can do and to help as much as possible. But at the same time, I think that it is timely also, particularly with respect to government. What other individuals are not doing, I understand your point. But with respect to government, I think now is the time that we do discuss it at this point in time in terms of what has not been done, because it has been because of that criticism that the federal government has sped up the process. But otherwise, I understand exactly what you're saying.
The sad thing about it is everybody was so ill-prepared for this. I mean, we were looking at Florida. That's all we kept on, it was going to hit Florida. And we're so used to a hurricane hitting Florida. The problem is that nobody was really expecting it to hit as hard as it did, and it's certainly not New Orleans, and Biloxi is like getting completely lost in the entire
But as time went on, by Sunday, we knew that New Orleans was in the eye well of the storm.
Well,
but thank you, dear.
I know that because being a travel agent, every last one of them were calling up talking about I need to get out of here. So.
I know what you're saying. Thank
you
so much.
Thank
you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. We'll be back with you after the news. Thank you.
Oh, it's going to be, a whole lot of trouble in your life.
A whole lot of trouble.
Oh, so listen to me, get up off your knees, because only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. A long way to go, the view of an Army Corps of Engineers spokesman as workers pump floodwater out of New Orleans. Lingering floodwaters pose a toxic risk, but some people are determined to stay put.
I tell them to shoot me, or take me, or handcuff me.
ABC's Alex Stone has more from New Orleans.
Soldiers are now going door to door, telling residents it's time for them to go. Police commanders say soon they'll force the remaining hurricane victims out. While some are taking the warning and are leaving, there are others, like this woman, who say they don't plan on going anywhere.
What is the law? Is it martial law? I mean, it's been chaos, everything. Who's in charge? Is the mayor in charge? Is the police chief?
And in some areas of town, receding floodwaters are exposing more bodies. One is in the middle of a downtown street here. The military is cataloging where the bodies are. Soon, they'll be picked up. Alex Stone, ABC News, New Orleans.
FEMA is offering debit cards to some survivors and fielding an overflow of calls.
Please try your call again later.
About 10,000 workers who lost their jobs because of Hurricane Katrina filed for unemployment just last week. School buses arrive at the Houston Astrodome this morning to take some displaced kids to class. ABC's Donna Renee is there with more on that.
Today is the first day of school for many young evacuees. The Houston Independent School District says it's prepared to absorb up to 6,000 Katrina kids, although only about 1,800 have registered so far, and they're welcome to stay as long as they want. Hundreds of temporary and retired teachers have been asked to return to the classroom, and the district says it's putting some displaced Louisiana instructors to work as well.
Vice President Cheney's due in the Gulf Coast area this morning for meetings with officials and first responders. Many people are still trying to connect with loved ones.
Hey, man.
This New Orleans family evacuated to Baltimore, reunited with their dog, Chico, who had been shipped to Houston. This is ABC News.
If you're in a relationship, face it. One of you is better at math than the other, so play to your combined strength. Don't be shy, threatened, or cavalier. Your financial future is too important. In a moment, winning advice for married couples.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now to get up to 4 customized home equity offers that you can compare and act on instantly. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
If you want to better manage your time and your finances, decide which one of you is the math whiz and let that person pay the bills and manage the money. Remember, though, you're in this together, and later missed payments could ruin both of your credit reports. Also, set spending rules and check with each other on purchases over a certain amount, like $100. Finally, you could even go on a financial date and talk about your financial progress over a cup of coffee or a glass of wine. That quality time could be both romantic and fruitful.
Tropical storm...
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Illinois health officials are reporting the state's second West Nile death this year. An 85-year-old Lake County man died on Monday from the mosquito-transmitted illness. A 92-year-old woman from Cook County died last month from West Nile. Health officials also confirm 11 new cases, which brings the total number of West Nile cases to 105 this year statewide. U.S. Senator Barack Obama of Illinois is introducing legislation to create a national emergency family locator system. If it were to pass, the bill would instruct the Department of Homeland Security to create a centralized system that families could use to locate loved ones in an emergency. The system would also enable displaced individuals to alert family members of their whereabouts. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is taking his call for a gas price gouging investigation to the federal level. Blunt has asked U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and Federal Trade Commission Chairman Timothy Murris to look into whether big oil companies are artificially inflating prices. Blunt spokesman Spence Jackson says this move is designed to give Missourians some peace of mind.
These rising gas prices have impacted all Missouri families. They've impacted the way that we live, work, and get from work, home to work, work to school, those sorts of things. And it's something that the governor felt we needed an answer to.
Blunt's call for a federal probe follows his direction last week for an investigation of potential price gouging at the local level. So far, Jackson says there have been no charges of price gouging at local gas stations. In response to the Republican pro-life bills at the heart of the special legislative session, pro-choice Missouri Democrats say they are also moving bills designed to reduce the number of abortions in Missouri. The bills would guarantee Missouri women the right to contraception, require sexual assault victims to be informed about emergency contraception in emergency rooms, and require pharmacies to fill prescriptions. Pro-life Republicans are trying to advance legislation that would call for legal action against anyone who helps a Missouri minor get an abortion without parental consent. Finally this hour, old rivals will meet on Sunday in San Francisco when the Rams travel to the Bay Area for a season opener with the 49ers. The two teams have played in the same division for decades and have built a fierce rivalry over years of battling for both divisional titles and Super Bowl opportunities. Quarterback Mark Bolger says coach Mike Martz gets particularly fired up for games with San Francisco.
Yeah, there's a couple games that he gets pretty fired up for, and this is certainly one of them. And I think this goes way back with him and... You know, Isaac and guys like that who have been here 10-plus years understand that. And, you know, obviously Arizona, you know, them leaving the franchise here and everything is another one, but this is up there.
Bolger says with the new coaching staff in San Francisco, it's difficult to get a good scouting report on how the 49er defense will perform.
You see what they do in preseason, but at the same time, you don't know what they're going to show or if they're going to show anything. And, you know, you get a little more comfortable 4 or 5 games in because you know teams are... You know, you can see them on tape in the regular season. So, but these coaches, they go from team to team, and they don't completely switch their defense. So we know what he's done in the past, and I'm sure he has a lot of input.
The opener is scheduled for Sunday afternoon at 3:15 Central Time. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
This WGNU traffic report is brought to you by the American Red Cross. Good morning, I'm Susan Smith-Harmon for WGNU News. Eastbound Route 370 between 94 and the Discovery Bridge, all roadways reopened after the stall has been cleared. Same with eastbound 40, I-64 at McKnight. The car fire is out. Traffic is approaching normal. Still backed up, approaching 270. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge, road construction. The right lane is closed. Crews are in the final stages of bridge work there. There are no delays at this time. Northbound I-170 between the Galleria Parkway and Forest Park Parkway. More road construction. The right lane is closed. Traffic slow heading to the bridges on the east side, slowing on 64 between Bow Avenue and 5570. Both bridge approaches stop and go. More traffic in about 20 minutes on WGNU. This report brought to you by the American Red Cross. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Now back to more of WGNU's Liz Brown's Morning Wake-Up Call with your guest host this morning, Irene Smith.
My fellow citizens of the world,
every moment you will find there's a broken heart, a tear of pride, a wish you made.
All right, we're back. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I am here in the studio this morning. I have been joined with Dr. James T. Morris, who is the minister, pastor of Lane Tabernacle CME Church. And I'm also joined in the studio with a very well-known face in the city of St. Louis, Jamila Nasheed. Wherever there is an issue that impacts our community, and specifically the African-American community, you're going to see Jamila somewhere in the midst. And she is in the midst. And they're here today to talk to us about an organization that they have formed, and not only they have formed, they have been on the move to assist the hurricane victims. Good morning, Reverend Morris. Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
She gave me my whole name. Yeah, off the air, she calls me Ma. So, Reverend Morris, tell us, what are you all doing to help the hurricane victims? Tell us what first, how it came about, and
well, Operation RAP, Respond and Provide, came about on Friday last as we met at Lane Tabernacle for a prayer vigil. Persons present at the prayer vigil included Congressman Lacey Clay, Alderman Terry Kennedy, Jamila, and others of us were present. And after that prayer vigil, I asked those persons to remain so that we can sit down together and discuss what we ought to do about what's going on in New Orleans. I had been watching the TV like everyone else had, and I was just appalled and concerned about the lack of response from the federal government and what was going on. And so we met and formed Operation RAP St. Louis, Respond and Provide. What we've been doing is responding and providing. We've been collecting food, water, clothing. We've gone down to the region on two occasions. Trucks have gone down to deliver supplies. We've sent money to the region. And we will be going back again on Friday. Mm. So we've just been trying to respond to people's needs there in the region, and also to respond to people's needs here when they come to the city.
So you all formed on Friday, and you've already been down, what, twice?
That's exactly right.
Oh, man, that is just good. Because what is important is that we respond immediately to the situation. I know there are a lot of efforts underway, and there are going to be a lot more relief that is going to be needed, even after, you know, people may be burnt out,
that's
you
right.
know. So that's interesting. Jamila, you're involved in this effort as well. In addition to taking things down, you know, we're expected to have people come to the metropolitan St. Louis area. Of course, there are already individuals here from New Orleans. You know, our family is here from New Orleans, and many others. In fact, I was with a family of 18 at the Euclid Plaza Senior Building on Sunday that had made it out. But we're preparing out at the airport. I think vacant hangar or something. And then we have the facility that is being set up at the Chesterfield site, at the old Gumbo site. So, Jamila, have you had an opportunity to view the facility out at the airport?
Yes, I had the opportunity to go out to the airport along with Reverend Morris, Yaphet El-Amin, and a couple other individuals. And what I had the opportunity to see was big space. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of space. But inside that space, you had extremely hot weather mm-hmm. inside. And I asked myself, how would the people respond and how chaotic would it become as a result of so much heat
mm-hmm.
inside? I mean, it was cooler outside than it was inside.
Mm.
But if I may, I would like to deviate from the short term
mm-hmm.
to the long term.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of unanswered questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, before you deviate, and I know you're used to running it, but I'm going to run this interview this morning. I'm trying to get to you. Talk about the conditions out at the hangar. And how many people are supposed to go there? Is it 2,000?
Well, what they're saying is this. They're saying that in the state of Missouri, they're looking to receive 2,000 people.
Okay.
However, they don't know how many people are coming here in the city of St. Louis.
Okay. How many are they prepared at
They're prepared to accept 2,000 people.
2,000 people at the site that you just described?
Correct.
Okay, that has cots, but it is not cool, it is hot. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, and this is the effort that was spearheaded by the mayor's office. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
We do need to be clear. There are some air-conditioned areas where
okay.
they will sleep. Where okay. it is hot is where they will be received.
Okay, where they will be received.
Where they'll be triaged and where the children will stay in a makeshift daycare that is set up.
Okay. It sure would have been nice if we had control of the Abrams building, as Reverend Larry Rice was pushing to do at this point. Jamila, there were some other things you wanted to
expound
on.
Yeah, but if I may, like I said, I have some unanswered questions. And the first one is, where are people? Why is it taking them so long to receive our people? I mean, it's been 5 days now, and it brings me back to the hurricane. They took 5 days to respond to the people in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, as a result of that, how many of our people will be here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the people get here, how many are we really expecting to come into the city of St. Louis? Mm-hmm. How many children? How many elderly? How many men? How many women? What's the education background? What's the data on the people that's coming into the city of St. Louis? We don't have it.
Okay.
In order to know how to respond, we need that type of data.
Okay. Have you all made an effort to go out?
We have.
Okay. And who did you talk to, Reverend Morris?
Well, when we got out to the hangar, we talked to Charles
Brightson.
Brightson, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, one of the mayor's assistants.
And also Jeff came up, Jeff Rainford came up.
Okay, and that would be the mayor's chief of staff.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We talked with them, but we had some questions about the setup. They were saying or suggesting that they would only have persons out there between 2 days and a week or 2 weeks at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people will be dispersed to hotels with these vouchers where they'll be given money, $2,000, I think, and then something for housing, et cetera.
Okay.
They are set up.
So this is going to be
short term.
Okay, well, that's good.
That is good. But when we ask the question about how they're going to move to the hotels, who decides what hotel, et cetera, they did not have all of that together.
Mm-hmm.
What seems clear
well,
to
me... Well, let me ask you this. With respect to the ability of clergy or other counselors, what access will they have to assist?
We asked that question. I specifically asked that question about spiritual formation, spiritual counseling for persons that come in. And I was originally told that there had been no plans for that.
Okay, and who indicated that to you?
Charles did.
Okay, would that be Charles Bryson?
Charles Bryson.
From the mayor's office, okay.
I pressed a little harder with the issue.
Certainly,
because
certainly.
He seemed a little aloof about it. And he said, well, Reverend, no, we really hadn't made any plans. Then when we got outside, I wasn't satisfied. I asked him again when we got outside where it was cooler, as Jamila stated, and she's absolutely right. He said, oh, well, there is a prayer room. I said, well, you didn't show us that, and why didn't you mention that ahead of time? And I didn't get any response for him.
Mm-hmm.
But still, my question really wasn't asked, because what I wanted to have happen was to have clergy be able
exactly.
to have access.
Right.
Again, you know, no provisions. Then I get a call yesterday from a clergy person who was concerned, as I was, and I said, well, we're told that we're not going to be able to go out. He says, oh, no, that's not true. There's a group that's going out, a group of pastors that have been given permission to go out. And I said, now there's a problem here. There's something
yeah.
wrong.
At this particular point in time, if you're expecting 2,000 people to come in, they're going to be in need of a lot of people to talk
that's
to.
That's right.
Not taking anything away from the ministers, mm-hmm. but anyone that has the ability to listen,
yes.
to comfort,
yes.
should certainly have access. And I'm hopeful that the city will have the good sense to set up a mechanism that would allow those of you and those who are concerned, and many of our people throughout the St. Louis area are concerned, to have access. Jamila,
I think those are the things that we need to begin to know. What do we have individuals that's going to deal with case managers that's going to go on site and analyze those individuals from a mental, you know, perspective? Because a lot of them, yes, they have lost their homes, but they have lost relatives also as
exactly.
a result.
Exactly.
And a lot of them is going to be devastated once they come here. You have elderly. They need medicine. Okay, you're going to give them medicine today. You're going to give them medicine tomorrow. But when would that free medicine cut out?
Mm-hmm.
But we have in the city of St. Louis, as well as in Missouri, a major Medicaid cut.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we really, really looking to deal with this crisis here? I don't think that we have a blueprint to deal with this crisis.
Okay.
I think that we're moving off emotions right now, and the clothing is fine. And when you get the people here, and individuals start taking them in the homes, how long would they carry them in the home before it's time for them to get out on their own?
Right.
Okay, and
right.
then not only that, will they be eligible for Medicaid? Will they be eligible for food stamps for those women? What's the education level? Will they be able to go out and get the type of jobs that's needed in order to have livable wages?
I understand. I think the most immediate concern certainly is to get them to a safe and clean place. And then once they get here, to certainly get that information, many of the things that Jamila is saying, very well taken, you know, to get as much information as we can. So that, because when you have that database, then you'll know how to respond to the
that's
situation.
Right. That's right.
But it's troubling to me that the city would not make provisions for ministers who are obviously involved. I mean, you guys have made two trips down. You're planning a third trip to assist the people. Certainly you all should have access, and hopefully as a result of this, people will call the mayor's office. You know, I believe that number is 622-3200, and ask, you know, why. You know, we want to help. People want to help. People should have access, and it should not be divvied out or politicized, as I have a tendency to believe that there are only certain select ministers who will have access to the people. And we don't need that in this situation. I understand people are posturing, people taking opportunities for picture ops and all of that. But in the final analysis, what is important is the people who are coming from the hurricane, and all of us. And we have seen people from all walks of life, every color, every hue, reaching out, helping people, and we all should have the opportunity to do so.
One of the problems, I think you're right, Irene, one of the problems is that when we ask, there were not persons that looked like you and I at the table deciding what was going to happen when folks got here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an issue that's plagued this city in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have a relationship with our brothers and sisters, and we could have been of great input in planning for mm-hmm. mm-hmm. where to house people, mm-hmm. where to put people when they arrive, rather than at some hangar outside of the way out in the city where they will have no contact with people. And yet we were told that after they leave that area, then they're going to be thrust into the communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then my question was, all right, well, you drop them into the communities, then how do we have a relationship with
exactly,
them?
Exactly. And you're talking about something that we talked about last week, and that is, you know, warehouse, and that's the quickest way, get mm-hmm. people in. But then once, you know, people need more individualized attention. And if we could form relationships, adopt a family, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you provide housing for that person, but they have a relationship with someone in the city of St. Louis that they know, they can call, they can talk to, they can share with. I think something like off the pattern of what Community Women Against Hardships do. They don't wait till Christmas time to send you a basket. They work with families all year. Jamila, how do you see members of the community becoming more involved in this process?
I think that they're already involved. I mean, the people here in the city of St. Louis, they're doing an excellent job in terms of responding to our people. I think that what we need to continue to do is think about how we can have, after the 2 weeks of fame, the media fame is gone. We need to begin to ask ourselves, how long are we going to stay with them? Because this is going to take, I mean, this is going to be a long process. And I think when we begin to ask those type of questions, and how much pressure will we put on the state and the locals to make sure that they do all that they can do to provide the services that will be needed for those people coming in St. Louis is going to be critical.
That's true. What is the state doing?
That's a good question. I don't know if a state representative, Yaffe Elamy, is listening. She had a meeting with the governor yesterday. If she listened, I hope that she can call in and give us a report. But from what I'm hearing, he's it's not an issue to him. It's not important to him. He's not looking to bring monies to the city of St. Louis, you know, for our people. So that's a good question. I think that we need more elected officials to get involved.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we need more black folks to step up and take the lead and begin to pose those questions as to how much money is going to come down from the Fed and the state to help our people in need.
Yes. I think that's a point that's very, very well taken. There have been a few people that have been hanging. We're going to take up some calls, and if you all could stay with us throughout the hour, I appreciate it. Good morning, Pastor Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good morning to your panel.
Okay, we can barely hear you.
Okay, hold on a minute. How's that?
That's much better.
Okay. I posed this question again last week, and again, the importance of what you're doing and all the efforts to help these people, and I'm wondering how long that's going to last.
That's exactly what Jamila was saying.
Simply because of the fact that we have people here already who are homeless.
That's right.
There's no place for them to be housed. There's no funding for them. You know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, we've opened up a place. We found a place that we could put these people, and this probably just to last a little while, because again, when you look at what we do for our own people, they'll probably get there, they'll be made to feel welcomed. But what's going to happen down the line?
Your point is very well taken. In fact, we talked about that a great deal on yesterday, and you know, it really challenges us, because the fact of the matter is, we have not in this country paid attention to the less fortunate. It has become a me, my, materialistic society, and we have not looked at poverty in this country, but this hurricane has caused us to look very definitely into the face of poverty. But your point is well taken. First of all, we can do something about homelessness in our city.
Mm-hmm.
We can.
It needs to be done. You know, you got people like Pastor Rice and others who are, you know, trying to do something, but you get no help from the system. And that's probably not only here in Missouri, it's probably all over the continent, all over the map. But, you know.
And then this is a time for us to talk about those long-term solutions in terms of dealing with homelessness and in terms of dealing with underemployment.
Right.
And unemployment.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Would either of you like to comment on that?
I think that respond and provide will be around as long as we positively can for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. But beyond that, I see respond and provide continuing on to be available for those folks in our city who are homeless, because I felt the same way. There has been no cry to help the homeless in St. Louis outside of the Reverend Larry Rice and a few others, and the city gives him no help. But I would like to see our organization stay around to continue to wrap around St. Louis on these kinds of issues. I think it's important that we do that.
I think your point is very well taken. Jamila, would you like to comment on that?
No, I think everything that the brother, you know, stated is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It very definitely is, and I'm very pleased to hear you say, Reverend Morris, that you all plan to be around, because one of the things that is miserably lacking in the African American community is an organization that responds. Sure, we have, you know, we have pantries, we have certain organizations, but an organization that is pretty much led and directed by African Americans who have, to a large extent, a greater understanding of some of the issues that impact our community. We don't have that.
You know, I still want to know, and I don't know, maybe you can answer this question, where are they coming from? I mean, the 2,000 that's coming here in the city of St. Louis.
We have no idea. We don't know if they're coming from New Orleans. We don't know if they're coming from Mississippi. You know, we just know that they are victims of the hurricane and that they're evacuees. That is the only information that we have been given. And understandably, there is limited information in terms of who the individuals are at this point. Certainly when they come in, I'm hopeful that there will certainly be a database established as to who these individuals are, who family members are, you know, how many children they are, so that we can respond, so that we can be in a position to not just throw a bunch of stuff, not throw a bunch of clothes, but to actually to address the particular needs of the family. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you after the break.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Right now the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. Right now the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Ahoy, mateys, this is your captain here. This is no time to swab the deck. It's time to take the crew to Kids Expo 2005. Saturday, September 10th, and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. You'll find a shipload of family-oriented products and services, including the debut of the new Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys, plus activities and entertainment for everyone. Don't forget to stop by Center Court, register to win one of thousands of dollars of gifts and prizes, including the grand prize, me very own treasure chest. Set sail now for Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square and sponsored by me shipmates at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter. Since 1982, Habitat for Humanity has been building houses and hope in the countries of Asia. But for hundreds of thousands of people, hope turned to despair last December when the tsunami struck. Today, Habitat building centers are being established to provide jobs, to teach new skills, and to offer people the dignity to rebuild not only their houses, but their lives. I urge you to join me, and support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your own community and around the world. Visit Habitat.org.
And taking a look now at WGNU traffic, Van Deventer at Laclede, there's an overturned vehicle. Northbound traffic is being diverted at Forest Park Parkway. At eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, road construction has the right lane closed. Crews are in the final stages of bridge work. Not slowing down too much at this time, though. At I-170 between the Galleria Parkway and Forest Park Parkway, more road construction, the right lane closed there. Eastbound I-44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge, expect normal traffic, though. I'm not sure what that means, but... I guess if you're out there, you'll know. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and New Florissant, no problems to report. Eastbound 4064 at last Missouri exit, Broadway Road construction has the exit ramp closed. I understand they're closing that eastbound at 20th Street as well, so you know, be careful because that's going to definitely change your commute if you normally go that way. Also, westbound 4064 between Hampton and Hanley, stop-and-go traffic. Between 270 and Hanley, stop-and-go traffic. I-5570 between 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, stop-and-go. And at 64 at I-5570, traffic is easing up a little bit. This WGNU traffic report brought to you by Eckert's. Apple Fest is going on now at Eckert's, so bring the whole family out for apple picking, tractor rides, music, and lots of country fun. Eckert's in Belleville, Grafton, Millstatt. For more information, visit Eckert's.com. Quick look at the WGNU forecast. It will be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 90s, right around 90 in the outlying areas. Currently 75 degrees and sunny skies at studios of AM 920 WGNU. More traffic, news, and weather at the top of the hour. Back to Irene Smith filling in for Liz Brown on the WGNU wake-up call this morning, right after this.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
Talk radio station seeks volunteer callers. Age, race, and political persuasion not important. Flexible shifts. To respond, call Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU at 314-454-0400. No experience necessary.
Oh, my. Innocence by Kenny G. There's so many innocent people being impacted by the hurricane. We're going to go to the phone lines to try to get some thoughts from our callers to see if they have any questions for our guests. Caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith. This is State Representative Yaphet Elamine. How are you?
Oh, so you're the anonymous caller. Go right ahead.
Thank you. If I may, you had asked a question earlier in the show as regarding to the state of Missouri and what the state's efforts are.
Exactly.
And yesterday, the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus had a meeting with Governor Blunt and had on our agenda the issue of Hurricane Katrina and the state's response. And basically, we were told at that meeting that the state of Missouri has issued National Guard troops, close to about 2,000 National Guard troops that have already been committed. The governor kind of alluded to other efforts that were not being coordinated by the state, such as community entities and religious organizations that had brought other people into the state already. However, we were concerned that the state has not committed any funding to this issue. He did speak to a few executive orders that he had released. However, we were unaware of what they were. But there is a concern as to funding that we need to have as it relates to schools for these young people that will be coming here, housing issues, as well as unemployment issues and helping in the transition for people to become employed in the state of Missouri.
Let me ask you this, Representative Ellemann. Has the governor requested any assistance from the federal government in terms of helping with any resettlement issues?
That, from my understanding, we have not received any federal dollars yet. When we met with the mayor's office at the airport hangar, there was some inference as to trying to contact congressional representatives in order to ask for some specific allocation.
But that hasn't been done as of yet?
Not from my knowledge.
Okay.
And I haven't seen anything reported in the news indicating any funding. We do know, based upon the Red Cross and FEMA, that people will be given one-time allotments of funding. And I heard earlier today that the Red Cross is averaging about $800 for a family of four. But I think your guest hit on it earlier, issues such as after that funding is gone, how do we help sustain for the long term? And Governor Blunt also indicated, and I thought that this was ironic, that he had contacted FEMA and told FEMA that the city of St. Louis at the airport hangar was ready to receive the evacuees. And we had some issues with that a couple of days ago in communicating with the mayor's office as to the governor being the one to give the sign-off when people would come. So as of yesterday afternoon, he had contacted FEMA and told them that they could come, but we still have no people to yet arrive in the city of St. Louis where they have medical facilities set up to be able to deal with some of these issues. So I'm just concerned as people continue to wait around for FEMA to send them forward that we may continue to lose lives because we're ready to go here in St. Louis when it comes to receiving the evacuees.
Yeah, it appears that most of the individuals from the hurricane who have gotten out of Louisiana either by their own means,
right.
It's been the efforts of church and not-for-profit groups that have assisted
right.
them in getting here in the St. Louis area and in other areas throughout Missouri.
Right, and it's time for, since the state of Missouri has come on board with the relief efforts, we need to do that not only in word but in deed. And I think this is an opportune time for the governor to tap into our rainy day fund in order to set aside some funds for bringing people into the schools. A lot of these young people will have so many social issues that they're dealing with, and we know we're already dealing with an overburdened and over an underfunded school system, so we're going to need some help.
We're going to need some help, but I think there's a request that can be made directly to the federal government for assistance because basically these individuals are homeless. There's legislation relative to children attending school with limited information, and I can't particularly think of the act right off the top of my head, but I am somewhat familiar with it, so that could be accessed, and as well as some federal funds and not necessarily having even to impact any state fund, and certainly there could be a full press effort to get private funds, but I think there are some federal resources that are available as well.
We need to go after them.
Yes, we do. We certainly appreciate you taking time to call in and give us an update on that situation.
Thank you. Maybe after tomorrow, I know Congressman Clay's office has called a meeting with the United Way and the Red Cross as it relates to how the community is going to have access in their efforts because they basically are the only ones allowed to have direct communication and direct contact. And we definitely want to be able to push our community organizations and our churches who have shelters waiting now
right.
into the loop so that the people can access them.
Exactly. And then that will reduce the amount of so-called warehousing of people. Thank you. Jamila, did you have something you want to add?
What we could do after the meeting is over is come back with an update as to the response from United Way and the Red Cross. However, I think that, you know, YAF has stated that we can use, there's a possibility of...
Speaking of Representative Elamine.
State Representative Elamine talked about the possibility of using the rainy day funds. I think that it would be essential for all those elected officials, mainly the black elected officials, to come together and request that.
I'm reluctant with respect to the use of the rainy day fund. I'm going to be very honest with you. I think that there are other resources out there, and of course, if it's necessary, I certainly understand that. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Irene and Reverend Morris, how are you today? Reverend Morris and Jamila, those trucks, are they going down to my folks, my black folks, and just taking them into the little rural community so they won't have to be standing in no land, just dropping it off at the churches and at the stores? They don't need to be no vouchers in process. They need some help, immediately help. Is that going to be happening?
Absolutely. It's already been happening, and it will be happening again on this Friday when we go down and take food and water and money down. We're going to Grambling, Louisiana, and I had a telephone conversation with some folks from Bugaloosa and Slidell on yesterday, and we even got a young man who needs to get back to the Kansas City area who was stranded. He went down to go to, I believe, Dillard, and of course he won't be able to go now, and so we're going to get him back home. I talked to his mother, and we're sending two buses down as well as the trucks down to take the food and water. And we're going to get that young man out of there and get him back to this region. So we're about getting to the people. We're not talking about vouchers. We're talking about getting food and water and clothing to those people and money to those area churches so that they can have the assistance they need, because they're feeding those people and housing them.
I'm so happy to hear that, Reverend Morris, because at this time, I looked at racist America, and I looked at my President Bush flying over the Superdome. He didn't even go by that Superdome over there where we've been in our waste all week long. This is a lesson in racism 100. Jamila, you're doing okay, but you got to go back to school.
Jesus.
All right? To school, no problems. Reverend Morris, tell
I'm in school
to
now,
go to
sister.
School. No cutting.
All right.
Cut.
She's in school.
She's in school. All right.
I'm going to be in school from now to infinity.
Okay. We're at break time here. We knew that was coming. This is the morning wake up call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith. I'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
Didn't I tell you that?
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Come enjoy Neil Simon's The Good Doctor at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, September 9th through 11th and 15th through 17th. Showtimes are 8 p.m. weeknights and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 314-962-0876.
know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Okay, this is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I'm here in the studio with Reverend Dr. James T. Morris of Lane Tabernacle CME Church and Jamila Nasheed, and they have been talking to us about RAP, Rapid
Respond and Provide.
Respond and Provide. And they have been helping the hurricane victims. In fact, they've been down twice and they're getting ready to leave again to assist. They've also been talking about our response here in the St. Louis area to those who are coming and how we should be more involved. Jamila.
What I would like to say to the listening audience, we need volunteers. We need individuals. We have a call center where individuals are calling in, getting the different type of information that's needed to them. But we need individuals to mend those phones. So if you can give some time, you know, we would greatly appreciate it.
Okay, give the telephone number. We have someone that's on a cell phone right now and who's going to talk with us about the state agency that is providing services.
The telephone number is 533-0534, and we're in operation daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Thank you so very much. Parfum, talk to us. Cell phone.
Yes.
Come on, you're on the air. You wanted to give us some information about a state agency
yes,
that is providing services.
Thank you. The
services.
Missouri Division of Tourism and the Convention and Visitors Bureau of the state of Missouri has opened up their entire database of employment to hospitality industry workers coming into the area. There's normally a fee to join the association and to access this. It's all being done gratis so that a lot of the obvious hospitality workers coming out of the New Orleans area would have an opportunity to search out new employment.
Okay, how would they access that?
The Missouri Department of Tourism.
Okay.
And the Missouri Visitors and Convention Bureau. Also might update the representative, the first plane load of evacuees arrived at Mid-America Airport about 9:20 last night. So
right,
they are
but that's
arriving.
In Illinois. That's
well, they're coming to the St. Louis area. That's just where they landed.
Okay, it's my understanding. I think specifically what they're talking about is those who are coming specifically to the Lambert area, but we have seen that information on the news,
right.
And we thank you for that information. One other question I have for you
sure.
Is this your database is being opened up. Has there been any coordination with the city of St. Louis to provide perhaps maybe a terminal or something out at temporary site so that the people can have access to it?
I can't answer that. I have no idea. But I do agree with you that what you were referring to as warehousing is a temporary site. I've worked in some emergency management situations when we had the floods here. And when you have a group of people that have been taken from an area and put into another area before you just let them loose, and I don't mean that derogatorily, but, you know, there is information that you have to glean from
exactly.
them so that you can help them find their family, address medical issues. So it's not, I don't think it's an issue where they just get off the plane or the bus and welcome to St. Louis. You know, they have to have some some logistical services.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, we're happy to see that the state is at least making the database for employment available, and I'm hopeful that perhaps you can pass that along if you're in the position to do so.
I can get back to you. I'm just in the car right now. I do have the information in the office. So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you for taking the time to call in.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye. John on the cell phone.
Hi, good morning, Irene. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? This sounds like John Chestnut.
Yes, it is.
How are you, dear?
It's very good to talk to you.
All right.
And to your guests as well. I just wanted to pass along some information about a national organization. I think it might be helpful for local people who are working on this to stay in touch with people on the national level so that people being dispersed around the country don't lose some of their political influence in New Orleans, and that there's a voice for them as redevelopment starts to happen. And I got a very interesting email from a group called the People's Hurricane Fund. And these were longtime, old-time SNCC workers who have been organizing in New Orleans for years and years. And they are interested in keeping track of where people are around the country and in serving as a voice for them politically, like I say, as New Orleans starts to come back. And so I wanted to put out that information. It's the People's Hurricane Fund. And give an email address if I could.
Yes, you can. Go right ahead. Jamila, could you take that down for me?
Okay. It's one of the organizers' personal email address, Muhammad Curtis, Muhammadcurtis, at bellsouth.net. And
John, I think we're trying to get it down, but if you can, after you finish, if you could call back and give the information to the engineer, we'd appreciate it.
Sure, I'd be glad to. They're setting up in Jackson, Mississippi, and I don't know if they have a website up yet, but I'll call back and give that information.
Yeah, because I know Jackson, I don't know if they're still without telephone service down there as well, so they have some issues as well. So thank you, John, for calling in.
Sure, I'm glad to, and thank you and your guests for everything that people are doing.
Yeah, so many people that we'll never know are helping out, and that's the way it should be. Thank you.
That's true. Thanks again.
Anonymous caller, talk to us.
Irene J. Smith.
Yes.
How are you this morning?
I am good. How are you,
good.
Brother?
I enjoy your guest, Reverend. Is it Reverend Morris?
Yes, it is.
Reverend Morris from Lane Tabernacle, and is it Jamila?
Jamila Nasheed.
Keep up the good work. Everything you said was true about what's going on about the cuts. And Reverend Morris, I would prefer to do it your way. Forget about those bouncers, because as far as I'm concerned, the people need to go another way, because Mayor Slay, when it comes to black issues, he don't have time for that. He don't understand black issues. And if you think I'm lying, go ask Kenny Jones. He just fired him. He don't have time. He don't know what black issues. He'll have to deal with them. As far as Matt Blood's concerned, all those cuts coming down, he don't have time for no black issues. Like this is on a photo op, like Irene J. Smith said. And like I said, we got a mayor here. He can't even. He doesn't even want to agree with the Citizen Review Board. He's against that. But yet he wants to bring these people here. No, it's a photo op, like Irene J. Smith said. As far as I'm concerned, the people can go somewhere else, because Mayor Slay is nothing, and Mayor Blunt, he doesn't have time for this neither. Thank you, Irene.
Okay, thank you. St. Louis, many of St. Louisans are here with open arms, and many of these same people to deal with what Reverend Brown said when he called in. Many of these same people deal with the homeless and are concerned about those who are less fortunate. And so, you know, hopefully through RAP, this efforts can be coordinated so we can maybe address the individuals in a more coordinated fashion. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
That's good. I'm okay.
All right. Talk up now. We want to hear you.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not buying all the controversy and the complaining and everything.
You don't have to buy it.
It sounds like, you know, the government doesn't work. And you know, from my experience in the military, everything works automatically.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was about 30-some years ago.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know.
Let me ask you this. When you say you're not buying the complaining, what are you saying specifically?
Well,
what is it that you're not buying?
The controversy I hear is like the government doesn't work and the government wasn't prepared to handle this.
Well, what do you think that the facts are showing?
Well, I know the facts are that the National Weather Service had a trajectory on where the storm was going to hit.
But let's talk about after it hit.
72 hours before it hit.
But after it hit.
48 hours before it hit the president, he issued the executive order that automatically put in place the initiative to establish the funding mechanisms. He declared it a disaster.
Okay,
it hadn't even hit yet.
Let me ask you this, brother.
Yeah.
You said you were in the military 30 years ago, and you said you don't buy the complaining, and
yeah,
hold on, let me talk now. Some of it is constructive criticism, okay? Now, I just asked you, do you have access to a computer?
Yes.
Okay, this is what I want you to do. Go back, do some research on how the government responded to Florida, okay? Go back and do some research, do some comparing and contrasting. I think criticism is well taken, and that's why we have this First Amendment, and
yeah,
it's constructive criticism. And I know you think that the government is on autopilot, but it took Bush 2 days to call off his vacation, and even after the hurricane hit, they still hadn't got it. It took the government 5 days to get into New Orleans when other people were going in and moving people out. We're at the top of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to go to the news, and we'll be back. I see you, callers. I'll get to you when we get back.
On your AM dial, WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Unsafe and unhealthy, New Orleans police are urging people to leave the city, starting with those who are willing to go.
I have family in Ohio, and I'm going out there because, you know, I just want to get far as away from New Orleans as I possibly can.
ABC's Bob Schmidt is there.
New Orleans police say they're concentrating on people who want to evacuate the city voluntarily. People who perhaps have not come into contact with the police at this point. Then after all those people are gone, the police and the troops will deal with any forced evacuations. First stop for the evacuees is the convention center, then the airport, for a medical screening to make sure they are well enough to travel elsewhere.
Receding floodwaters reveal bodies, while toxic floodwaters pose a threat to rescuers and to survivors who stay.
Health authorities are blaming the deaths of 5 people now in Mississippi and in New Orleans on that contact with contaminated water. They say that anyone with open wounds is going to be very susceptible to infection.
ABC's Nina Pineda. The government has ordered 25,000 body bags. We asked FEMA's new deputy director, Thad Allen, if that's an indication of how high the death toll may go.
I think it's premature, and I think it would almost be irresponsible to try and characterize any kind of loss of life or what we might be expecting here, because quite frankly, a good deal of the town is still underwater.
Vice President Cheney has just landed in the storm zone. ABC's Ann Compton has more on his mission.
The vice president's marching orders for today are to see whether government red tape is slowing recovery operations. He is seeing the 17th Street levee, where Army engineers have repaired the breach, and he's boarding the USS Iwo Jima, providing offshore medical care for New Orleans.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The first wave of unemployment claims in the wake of Katrina. The government says about 10,000 people filed for jobless benefits just last week. Katrina could also cost homeowners who heat with natural gas this winter a possible 71% hike in some areas. This is ABC News.
Okay, top 3 reasons I'm getting my new appliances. Number 3, appliances are like jewelry for your kitchen. Number 2, the next best thing to a gourmet chef is having all the equipment she uses. And number 1, right now, I can get some delicious deals.
Now through October 5th, get up to a $150 gift card on select major appliance purchases of $299 or more. visit the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. stores only. By mail-in rebate. See store for details.
It's time for the ultimate ATV deal at Bombardier ATV's Fall Clearance Event. Get up to 6 times longer warranty coverage than the competition. A full 3 years on Bombardier ATVs, like the most powerful and versatile Outlander. Plus, rebates up to $800 on 05 and prior models. Hurry, because this ultimate deal ends September 30th. Find a Bombardier ATV dealer near you at BRP.com. Offer ends 9/30/05. Riders must be at least 16 years old and have taken a training course. See dealer for complete offer details.
California lawmakers passed it. Governor Schwarzenegger says he'll veto a bill that would allow same-sex marriage in his state.
No one's more disappointed than the tens of thousands of couples and their extended and immediate families that won't have the same rights and privileges that Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger have been afforded and, frankly, have, I think, taken for granted.
Reaction from Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco. Schwarzenegger says he believes gay couples are entitled to full protection under the law, but this should be decided by a popular vote or a court ruling. The sentence is 13 years in prison for an HIV-positive ex-con. He said he tried to kill several people, cops and a hospital worker, by biting them or by spitting in their faces. Robert Murray was not at the New York State Supreme Court when the judge imposed the sentence. He sent a message saying the Hannibal Lecter-type restraints the judge ordered were humiliating, and he refused to wear them in court. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, over 130 displaced New Orleans residents are settling into a temporary Metro East housing shelter. A chartered jet carrying the Gulf Coast evacuees landed at Mid-America Airport in Muscoota, Illinois, shortly before 10:30 last night. Some hurricane survivors were taken from the airport triage and processing center to area hospitals, while others were bused to a temporary shelter at an Alton mental health facility. Meanwhile, numerous agencies and volunteers continue to await the arrival of hurricane evacuees at Lambert-St. Louis International Airport, where a vacant hangar is set up as a processing center. The American Red Cross St. Louis Area Chapter reports that more than 1,300 displaced Gulf Coast residents are already receiving assistance in the St. Louis metro area. The local chapter is providing Hurricane Katrina evacuees with shelter, food, clothing, medical prescriptions, eyeglasses, and mental health counseling. 27 local Red Cross staff and volunteers are on the ground helping with relief efforts throughout the Gulf Coast, while 70 other volunteers remain on standby for deployment. The price of gasoline since Hurricane Katrina is the subject of congressional hearings, speculation on price gouging, and calls for investigations. Missouri Senator Jim Talen says a potential long-term solution to the gas problem is in the recently passed energy bill. Talen says alternative fuels like E85, even in limited distribution, have already shown the potential to bring down prices.
We conducted an informal survey of gas stations in Missouri that were pumping E85, which is an 85% ethanol blend. And in a number of places, as of September 2nd, it was selling for around $2 a gallon, a dollar less than unleaded gasoline was selling in Missouri.
In a meeting with lawmakers earlier this week, energy officials said pipelines from the affected area are not in as poor of shape as they feared. Based on that, officials expect gas prices to begin dropping over the next couple of weeks. Finally this hour, the success of the Corey Spinks-Zab Judah fight in February has earned St. Louis another shot at hosting a championship boxing card. Savas Center will be the site of 3 title fights on September 30th. Boxing promoter Don King was in the Gateway City yesterday to announce the lineup, which will include a matchup between undefeated Valerie Brudov and veteran Virgil Hill for the WBA Cruiserweight belt. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay was also on hand, and he says boxing needs to be a part of the sports landscape in St. Louis once again.
The St. Louis has a rich boxing history, and we're proud of that. Our community has supported boxing programs such as the Golden Gloves and City Recreation Boxing Programs, the Police Athletic League, and others. And we have nurtured boxing champions over the year, and certainly the most recent one that we're proud of is Corey Spinks.
The mayor says the championship bouts, along with the addition of Friday night fights at Savas Center, will provide jobs and tax revenue for the city and entertainment for fans. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
And good morning. Currently 8 minutes after 9 a.m. I'm Rich LaCroix with a look at traffic. Westbound 40 at Hanley, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up through Clayton Skinker. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry Road and New Halls Ferry. The accident has now been cleared. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson Olive and Timberlake Manor, there's an injury accident. The three right lanes are blocked. Traffic jams coming out of Chesterfield Valley. Eastbound 44 at Van Deventer, the vehicle fire has now been cleared. Westbound 170 between Galleria Parkway and Forest Park Parkway is closed due to construction. The right lane is closed through there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit at Broadway, there's road construction that has the exit ramp closed. Westbound 70 at Route 94, there's road construction. The left lane is closed there. Eastbound 40, the ramp to 20th and Chestnut is closed due to construction. There are no delays at this time. And finally, eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley Road, look for stop-and-go traffic. This WGNU traffic report is brought to you by the American Red Cross. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Taking a look now at the WGNU forecast. Look for partly cloudy skies today. A 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. High around 90 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight. Low around 70 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently 80 degrees even here at the studios of Radio 920, 77 degrees at Lambert Field. That's a look at news, traffic, and weather up to the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Rich LaCroix. We will return to more of the Wake Up Call with Irene Smith in just a moment here on AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Getting our children immunized against preventable illness is something we're reminded of by their doctors and schools. But what about grown-ups? Vaccines don't just stop when you become an adult. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services website is a good place to find information on what you should be vaccinated against. That includes a tetanus shot every 10 years, a flu shot every year if you're 50 or older, pneumococcal vaccine when you turn 65, and if you're susceptible, you should be vaccinated against hepatitis B, measles, mumps, and rubella, and the chickenpox. Also, if you travel, depending on where you're going, there are suggestions for getting vaccinated against diseases we might no longer have here in the U.S. For college students, vaccines to fight bacterial meningitis are a good idea. It's a disease that can lay dormant for a while before symptoms begin, which can make it hard to track to its origin. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
Save the babies. When the world won't. We have all the opportunity in the world to give in whatever way you can. Get in where you fit in. As you know, earlier this week I spoke with Brother Minister Akbar, who indicated that a truck would be here up at 5415 Page. That's the Emerson School. We need to fill that truck today and get it back on the road. It will be going through some of the more rural areas of the South that have not gotten the attention as some of the major areas that have been devastated have received. So sisters and brothers, we need non-perishable items. We need medicines, whatever you have. If you have clothing, please package the clothing. If it's male clothes, ages, you know, sizes rather, indicate that on. So there'll be less work when it reaches its destination, so it could be distributed immediately. We need food, canned goods, sardines, mackerel, aspirin. You know, we need bleach, washing detergent, peroxide, all of that. You know, if you just have $2, go buy $2 worth of stuff and take it up there.
Will they take Bibles and Qurans?
They would take Bibles and Qurans. There are children toys, books for the children, clothes. They would take them. And again, if you could make sure, and I shouldn't have to tell people this, but please make sure the clothes are washed and clean and folded. Again, identify whether the bag is for males or females and the sizes. This is your opportunity to be blessed and to give a blessing. So let's not miss out on it. Let's go to the phone lines and hear from George. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little, you know, I have family in that neighborhood, so it's not a very pleasant week for me. You know, have you ever driven to New Orleans?
Yes.
Down 55?
Yes, sir. More times than I care to remember.
Now, you know, when you leave probably Jackson, I guess, the next biggest city from there, and you go down heading into down 10, there's a lot of vacant land there, for instance,
mm-hmm.
before you reach, you know, any kind of real serious area.
Right, after you take that long drive across the long state of Mississippi.
There you go. You know, my whole trip is, if I had a child today and I was coming out of that neighborhood, they wouldn't go to any school. You know, there's too much trauma going on in their life for them to, we got to get our family back together so we can all function as a family. And see, what I would do, the government wanted to help those people, was put temporary housing there and keep those people close together. You know, I heard something the other day, Francis. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking
about.
You know,
it's going to take, what do they do with the people between the time they're able to build the house?
Well, see, they the one need the job now. They need to help rebuild New Orleans.
I believe that. You're going to be 10,000 temporary jobs
available. As a workforce to help, and then that would give them something positive to do in life, except sit around and wait for these agencies that's not going to do anything in the first place, you know, to help them. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, you could have took the young people and the women out and left the men for us there and give them some pride in it and pay them decent wages so that they can, you know, take care of their family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think your point is very
well
taken. You know,
but just for instance, if somebody did you like this, you've been living in New Orleans your whole life, and you get on a plane one day and you wind up in Utah, because I heard some of the people went to Utah. Now, these people have probably never seen snow. And you know the culture in Utah is a whole lot different from the culture of New Orleans. Now, that's trauma. That's almost like stepping off the ship when our ancestors got here into a new land. And see, these people are not thinking about that. Everybody panicking now. But we're going to need to have some people sit down and do some serious thinking so that we can get our families back together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some strategies. And you made some very good points. I'm going to move on, brother, to another caller and allow Jamila to respond to that.
I think that we are strong people. You know, we have overcome the worst in American history. And I think that until we believe that and understand that we can conquer whatever it is that we want to conquer, may that be our spiritual growth, our ability to believe that God will not put a burden on us no more than we can bear. Only then will we understand the power that lies within us. And I think that we have to just stick together. We have to begin to understand how important it is to pray.
Mm.
We must pray, and we must ask God for his help.
That's right. The point is a very well taken, but I also understand the point that Brother George was making. I think that to allow people to help rebuild the area would instill a sense of pride into them. And hopefully there's a sufficient enough database that there are going to be 10,000 it's estimated that there will be 10,000 part-time jobs available for the rebuilding of the hurricane-ravaged areas. And hopefully many people who were displaced will be in the position to go back and help to rebuild their homes. I'm going to go to the sister here who's been holding for a minute. Good morning, sister. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen with those displaced jobs. You know what? That's the construction field. And anybody that's ever been involved in a union know how racist those construction unions are. It's going to be absolutely no black people, and it's going to be all white males cleaning up that area. Because they're going to use the existing contractors, and most of them are unionized even in the South, and they're going to use white males.
Well,
I don't think we need to be fooled into thinking that. Well, we need to be. Well, our politicians.
But
let me
ask you this: you said we don't need to be fooled in, but knowing that, then certainly there can be some effort politically to indicate that a portion.
I'll go get to that next.
Okay, that a portion of the work should certainly go to people from that area. You know, whether it's like under Section 3, because they're probably going to use some HUD money to do so. So I think that's certainly not beyond the ability to happen.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you something, because I was with a government union, American Federation of Government Employees. I was a chief shop steward. The government still has an affirmative action plan in place. Our politicians like Clay know this. And all they have to do is enforce that affirmative action plan, take it to court. You have to enforce it. And they will have enough people of color building New Orleans without even going through a big... We need to write our congressmen, and we need to write our representatives, you know, to enforce that, because it's already in place. Because most of those jobs... See, that's a myth when they say they're not... When the construction unions tell... the government that they can't find qualified blacks. Black males go to trade schools at a high rate. We come out to military learning trades, and southern black males work in construction a lot. They just don't get the good construction jobs. So that's just a myth.
Okay, Keith. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, Keith, I think they're going to do only what we allow for them to do, you know, and what we let them do. I think that it's going to be essential for those black contractors to come together and begin to talk to the politicians about how and what role they can play in the effort of rebuilding in New Orleans. Now, Gerald Christmas called me a couple of days ago, and he said, Jamila, you have 2,000 people coming into the city of St. Louis. Why can't we develop the LRA homes? I mean, we can rebuild our neighborhoods in the process. I said, well, that's an excellent question. I mean, that's an excellent... You know,
and that's part of the collaboration in terms of discussion that should take place. But before time gets by us, we have been waiting, and it has arrived, a truck, and I'm going to talk about that after our break. In fact, we're past, almost a little past, where we will be taking a break. I'll be back with you after the break.
Save a world in despair. Who really cares?
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over, doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. So you don't believe in Santa Claus, but you do buy lottery tickets.
Can't stop living, oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Oh, we just don't like to do that. Let live, everybody. Look, we have a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page in front of Emerson School. We need to fill that truck today. We need these items to give to our sisters and brothers who are hurting in very rural areas of the hurricane-devastated area. So we need your help. We need non-perishable items. We need bleach. We need washing powder. We need disinfectant. We need aspirin. We need Band-Aids. We need hygiene items. We need clothes. We need food, you know. And make sure you put some stuff in there for the kids. They need toys. They need books, school supplies, you know. Go get a case of applesauce. I mean, we tried to think of everything yesterday when we went out, Reverend Fowler and I. You know, applesauce, pudding, juice. You know, these are kids that have been impacted. Toys, you know. And if you bring clothes, please identify the sizes. If, you know, if they're bags and they're women clothes, you know, medium through large. Just indicate it so then that less effort will have to take place in distributing which they reach the destination, its destination. Please, sisters and brothers, let's fill this truck at 5415 Page, right in front of Emerson School, right on the side of Emerson School. Let's fill this truck. This truck will be going down to help our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by the hurricane. I have a couple of folks who have been holding for a little while, so I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning, Roosevelt Man.
Yes, Irene. There's still chaos. They got people lined up for debit cards, and the government says, not today, maybe tomorrow. So, plus, it's as hot as Hades. But, you know, Irene, in this most deal of irony, the poor finally got their tax cut, didn't they, Irene? The Bush administration has done what they should have done, targeted to the bottom, the lower middle, and the middle. But, of course, they don't ever make a mistake, they say. But I'll tell you this, Irene, if heat and gas is going up 71% this winter, you can be sure that by next spring, early spring, we will be in another recession. Thank you very much, Irene. It's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you, Roosevelt, ma'am, for your comments. Good morning. Call on the car phone.
Good morning, sister.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I have a problem. And my problem is that I watch the news, I look on the internet, and when these people leave, I'm going to say 4%. I'm going to go that high, 4%. When 4% of the people was out there busting these store windows out and stealing radios, they act like everybody was doing it. Every last black person that was trying to survive was doing it. But when New York hit those planes, hit those towers, I did not hear the same thing I heard when those cops was out there stealing out them stores. When we had the flood down there in a rural white area, I didn't hear them talk about when they had white people busting in people's houses and breaking in people's houses like they talk about people in New Orleans. I'm so sick and tired of these news coverage riding on the backs of black people, the ones that's doing bad, just making a mistake. I'm sick and tired of it.
Brother, I would suggest that you make your rage known to the media that is doing this. I certainly appreciate your calling, but also call the television station and tell them that you think that they're being disproportionate in continuing to mention it. And, I mean, at least on CNN, they kept showing the same four scenes.
Yes.
I mean, and we know, yes, whenever you have situations like this, you're going to have people that engage in lawlessness. But I don't even think it was as high as 4%. It's probably smaller than that.
And I didn't.
But there are going to be people that are going to lash on to that and use that as an excuse not to address what we should be addressing, and that is those people who have been devastated and hurt as a result of this hurricane.
And one more thing, sister. I really hope that they let people, black people, those people that live down there, help rebuild their own city and not send in people that do not stay there and build that city up. Because there's going to be a lot of money be made and a lot of money is going to be stolen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, we have a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page in front of Emerson School or on the side of Emerson School. We need your help, sisters and brothers. We don't care who you are, as long as you have a heart to give and do, no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, please go by. Brothers, if you're free, perhaps they might need a helping hand, go by, aid and assist. We need to do this. We cannot let this opportunity go by. Fill this truck. This truck needs to be on the road tomorrow. Our people are suffering. Let us fill that bus today. Again, that's on Page at 5415 Page, Emerson School, just a little west of Union, right at Page and Arlington. Get over there, do what you can, give what you can. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to find out the telephone number that I will call. It was mentioned earlier in your program that you needed people to man telephone call.
Yes, and Reverend Morris, could you give out that number again?
Yes, thank you, caller. That number is 533-0534, extension 0. And we're there daily from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m.
And that has been the Reverend Dr. James T. Morris, the pastor of Lame Tabernacle CME Church.
Let me repeat that number again. Was it 533-0534?
That's correct.
Extension 0?
That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, brother, for calling in to offer your assistance.
Thank you.
Again, we have a truck at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School. That is two blocks west of Union. We need to fill that truck. That truck will be headed to rural areas of Mississippi and Louisiana to drop off perishable, non-perishable items and clothes and food for our sisters and brothers who have been devastated by this hurricane. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be right back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
Save a world in despair. Who really cares?
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen? WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herb Steck online at WGNU.net.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies.
You think?
Save the babies.
All right, now, this is Irene J. Smith. I'm back with you. I'm sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. I've been joined in the studio this morning with Reverend Dr. James T. Morris of Lame Tabernacle CME Church and Jamila Nasheed, and they've been sharing with us Operation Rap St. Louis. They have been formed to respond to the needs of hurricane victims throughout the devastated area. Again, we have a truck, 40-footer, at 5415 Emerson on the side, 5415 Page, on the side of Emerson School. That's just two blocks west of Union, and we need to fill that truck to send relief to our sisters and brothers throughout. We also have other dropout sites. RAP has a dropout site at 916 North Newstead Avenue. You can call 533-0534. But right now we want to fill the truck that is at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School. My guests will be leaving shortly, and before we leave, Reverend Morris, I'm just going to ask perhaps if you would offer up some prayer for us.
Certainly. I'd like to say before I do that, if I may, that we appreciate so very much all the persons who have responded to Operation Rep, Respond and Provide, and the coalition is growing. We are grateful to those organizations that are joining our efforts so that collectively we can do some things that are positive in the lives of people. That's what it's all about. It's about responding to the need of those persons who have become victims of Hurricane Katrina. And we just thank you so very much for all of your work. Irene, we thank you for all that you're doing to bring this issue to light in the city.
Thank you so much.
I will also like to thank all of those individuals that have contributed their time, their energy, and their money throughout the St. Louis area, men, women, elderly, everyone. I would like to say that you are my heroes and sheroes. All right. Reverend Morris.
Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we give you even thanks and praise for this day and this time in the life of our nation. Lord, your children, black and white, are in need. And Lord, St. Louis is in need of responding. And we pray, O God, that you would put it in the minds and the hearts of the citizens of St. Louis to respond appropriately. This is not the time to politicize an issue. This is not a time to break off into coalitions. This is a time for the city to come together, to help our brothers and sisters. And we pray that that spirit of unity, that spirit that Christ talked about, that Christ wanted for the church, would shower down upon the entire St. Louis community, that we might respond and provide appropriately for your children, those who are in the region and those that are on their way. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks and praise for those who have already responded and those who are praying, the churches that have had vigils, the pastors who have opened the doors, and the members who are giving of their dimes and quarters and dollar bills and writing checks. We just give you praise. Now bless us as we continue in this struggle to provide for those who cannot provide for themselves. Guide us and direct our path. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Morris, and thank you for taking time out of your day to come by. And Jamila Nashi, we appreciate all that you have done and all that you are doing right now. I'm going to go to the phone lines, and again, we have a 40-foot truck at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School that is located two blocks west of Union, right at Page and Arlington. We need to fill that truck today. The truck will be headed for rural areas along in Mississippi and Louisiana, areas that have not gotten the attention of some of the other efforts. We need to help our sisters and brothers. They are suffering. We need to do this. This is our opportunity to be blessed by being a blessing. Good morning, brother.
Good morning to you, sister. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you as well.
I've been on such an emotional roller coaster this morning listening to some of these callers until I realized that they really, these bigots, these racists, these people with these opinions of these one-sided mindsets, they really shouldn't even be the focus. I don't know if there's been any other time in the history of this country, as short as it is, that such an outpouring for total strangers within the boundaries of this country has ever occurred.
Mm.
With people calling in, asking, are they going to rebuild, without realizing that every time those houses slide down the hills in California, before the mud stops people out there in front of cameras, yes, we intend to rebuild. As soon as one of the fires sweep through and things are cleared out, they rebuild every time. But I think we all understand the motives of people who call in with such ideas like that. People all over this country, whatever their ethnicity, are opening their doors to total strangers.
Yes, they are.
In light of the fact that these people may have health problems, there may be mental problems, whatever, there's nothing stopping. The entire nation is involved in this. And I don't think the so-called powers that be counted on this. As far as my being convinced that they exploited the situation and let help take so long getting to these people. I don't know if they really counted on Americans responding like this. So every time I think we get emotionally upset with the racists and the bigots who want to use the airwaves to get their poison out into the atmosphere, I would like us to keep in mind that all we have to do is keep the light on, and in time, just like any other maggot, they will soon dry up. Thank you very much, sister.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you calling in and saying that, because while we point out the racism that is going on, I think that you could not have said it better. You know, there have been so many expressions of love from individuals from every hue, black, white, you know, every ethnicity has extended itself, you know, and people, you know, I just looked at some of the people that Sister Ofer interviewed, you know, and basically it's like people that they couldn't sit still. They had to do something. You know, it anticipates that I will be leaving on Friday going down to see what I can do. You know, just have to do something to help.
When I talked to my son last night about it, we've made small financial contributions, but I told him, no, we got to put our minds to this. We've got to do something, and it's got to be effective.
Exactly.
We want it to work. We don't want it wasted, squandered, or stolen. We're going to do something. I have a truck, a pickup truck. we're going to do something.
We have to do something.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's like we, I think some people have to do something in terms of physically doing something to satisfy, because we want to be of assistance. Of course, we want to do it in as a coordinated fashion as possible, but we also want to respond as quickly as possible to the situation. Many listeners are calling in wanting to know how long the truck will be there. We are hopeful that the truck will be filled today. So as soon as the truck is filled and the drivers get some rest, because the truck, I guess, got in last night or early this morning, they will be on their way. So it will be there, I believe, for this entire day. But after that, we want it to be en route back to Mississippi and Louisiana. So I'm not sure exactly how long it will be there. It is our hopes that it will be there no longer than 24 hours, because we want to fill it to get it back en route to rural ports of Mississippi and Louisiana.
This is unprecedented. Every state government, people
are just reaching out. Had it not been
for... extent, it surprised me. I mean, I knew there was some love still left in this country, but this has really surprised even me. And then it just upsets me, as I'm sure it does many, when these people who have no other sense of identity except to feel superior to others, well, they are the most impotent of men. And they have a good example in D.C. You know, this guy landed on the aircraft carrier and all of that, but he is showing the world just how much of a man he really isn't. This is all coming out. If we keep the light on, these maggots are going to dry up, sister.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's the nature of it. Okay. They can't escape it.
All right. Just stay encouraged, and I thank you.
Oh, I definitely will. Thank you.
All right. Again, we have a 40-foot truck that is located at 5415 Page, right by Emerson School. It is going to be loaded, packed. We need perishable items. We need a number of items, everything you can think of, shoes, clothes, lotion, deodorant, laundry detergent, towels, pillowcases, toilet paper, canned goods, crackers, granola bars, shampoo, combs, diapers, sanitary napkins, socks, washcloth, blankets, soap. Soap with pop-up tops. We need bleach. We need disinfectant. We need alcohol. We need peroxide. We need brushes. We need underwear, wipes, toiletry, sheets, baby furniture, battery, pop torch, cereal. We need toys for the kids. We need books. We need school supplies. Anything that you think that people will immediately need. They're trying to get toys for the children. We need to do this, St. Louis. We care. I know you do. I've seen expressions of love from all types of people, from all types and walks of life. This hurricane, while it has directly impacted those individuals who live in that area, it has impacted America, and it has an indirect effect on all of us. So we have an opportunity to give. Please do so. The truck will be there. Afterwards, you can contact RAP. There are other institutions that are out there. Get in where you fit in. Wherever you feel comfortable giving, do that. We're going to take a break at this time. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, The Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. I'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
For the past several months, one question has been on the minds of WGNU listeners. Just what is a WEW? Does WEW stand for Women Empowering Women, Wild Energetic Women, or is it just a new kind of chocolate? Only one person has the answer. Tune into the WEW Show with Debbie Donzie every Thursday from noon to 1 p.m. Find out what's happening in the Metro East. Call in and talk, and be sure to ask about that chocolate. That's the WEW Show with Debbie Donzie, Thursday afternoons from 12 to 1 here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
All right. Ah, man, we got opportunity to save ourselves and to do what we can. The people who have lost all material things and many people whose spirits have been all but broken. And a lot of people and a lot of our people have tremendous resilience. But we have to strengthen them. We have to be there for them. And we also, in so doing, as a brother called me off the air, certainly there are other people who are in need, and we need to address that as well. And what this shows is the lack of planning and policy, and we're all at fault. You know, perhaps we have not pushed enough, perhaps we have not made enough noise so that our government would have prepared better. But I have to really give accolades to the men and women who are in the military and the police who are doing their job. And I also have to thank very much the churches and the non-for-profit groups and those individuals who we will never know their names. We will never know who they are. But just gave and just did heroic things, who saved people's lives, who made a way out of no way for a lot of people. They are certainly to be commended. Certainly people are going to talk about the looting and the shooting, and those things that happen in context may have been wrong, and in some context may not have been wrong, because I certainly commend the brother who saved the 200 people. You know, he took somebody's boat. It wasn't his boat, but he saved life. And in the final analysis, life is more important than property. And what has happened is that we have displaced priorities in this world, and particularly in this country, where we place materialism above the value of life. But, sisters and brothers, there is a truck at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School. We need to fill that truck in 24 hours. That is the goal, to get that truck back on the road. A lot of people through rural areas of the South, a lot of people off the back roads have not been serviced and are in need of assistance. Long Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and a lot of other areas throughout Louisiana and Mississippi have not been helped. This is our opportunity to help. Sisters and brothers, let's reach out and do this, and do it quickly, because they are in need of help and response right now. Good morning. Good morning. I guess Ed is gone. Let's move on to Prisoner. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I appreciate you keeping me on this long. Irene, I've been listening to, all of these people, and I agree with what Reverend Fowler said, number one, about this money situation. If you look on 11A in the paper this morning in the Post, you'll see what I'm talking about. One of the hosts on WGNU at Couch Potato, they have him allegedly stealing this money. They talked about black people depending on the government to give them something all the time, but how they manipulate in the background off a tragedy. And this is a tragedy, and a lot of that money is going to be taken. And this is a prime example of what I'm talking about. This host on WGNU used to be on there. They got rid of him. If you look on 11A, you'll see where they was trying to manipulate and steal that money to give to some racist white group. So when they talk all that talk about they don't take money from the government and they are too proud to be on welfare, this is a prime example of what I'm talking about. Just look on 11A. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. It always amazes me, and it has, even when I was a young child, I think in sixth grade, when I really started thinking about this, and you talk about welfare, and then I started looking at it, and I asked one of the nuns at the school, I said, what did they call it when they give businesses money that they didn't work for, that they didn't earn? And she said, well, they are assisting the business. Well, it's corporate welfare. And again, we just have to decide what our priorities are. And with all that God has blessed us with the means that we have, the intellect that we have, the health that we have, we certainly within our framework can do what we can to make matters better. And it all depends on what's important to us. I mean, to some people it was important at going in and bombing a sovereign nation by going to Iraq and to go to Afghanistan, you know. But now our focus must be on helping the people in this country, American citizens. Let us do what we have to do. Again, there's a 40-foot truck on Page. We need to fill it as quickly as possible so we can get that truck back on the road to Louisiana and rural parts of Mississippi. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Ring.
Yes.
Yes. I was listening to your comment. We got to do what we can. I was just thinking, I know about that trapped-in feeling. I know about that devastation that they must have felt, Irene, being helpless. Now, there's where the racism come in, to me, in my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
It come in when you can't help yourself, no resources, none whatsoever. Now, the government responds to a national organization, their minds are so narrow that they couldn't see there was a national catastrophe going down that nobody caused it. And because the people were black, that's where your racism come in, the fact that they weren't able to help themselves. And then the government's reaction to that. Now, that's where the government failed. Now, I can only, that trapped-in feeling,
mm-hmm.
I've experienced that right here with mm-hmm. the dope.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Yes,
and that's
ma'am.
A devastating thing. All these dope dealers, and here we is on the block. I say, what the hell?
You bring up a point, and I'm going to move on because we have two other callers hanging out there that I want to get to before the end of the hour.
Yes, but you know, I'll listen to you. I'll listen. I'll hang up.
Okay, we can change things if we want to, and government can assist us when they want to. You know, just as there are people calling in with racist comments, at the same time, there are other individuals, as Brother Hassan pointed out earlier, of every hue. You know, showing people love, genuine love. I mean, as he indicated, opening up their doors. They don't know these people, but they are providing shelter, and they're doing it from their heart, and it was amazing. And perhaps in the end, it may be a blessing for America that people were just struck with such great concern. You know, you can't empathize. I can't even fathom what it's like to lose everything. You know, of course, I try to condition myself not to be very materialistic, but to lose your family, because these people have not only lost their homes, many of them have lost loved ones. And on a day-to-day basis, we know how that is. But I want to get these last few callers. Yes, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, how are you, Sister Irene?
I'm here, brother. I'm blessed.
You know, I really miss Onion Harden. The greatest thing that ever happened to talk radio, because he was spirited, and he did take a stand for black people, and he had knowledge. He didn't come to the air vacant upstairs. He had the knowledge and the spirit to fight. That I like about talk radio. Ever since then, it's been drab without onion horn. And I don't blame him for calling the dean of talk radio. He was that.
Well, everybody has opinions about talk radio, and everybody has different orientations. Onion had his.
No, I heard that so much. I don't really, let me say this.
Not everybody has their orientation. And I mean, that's true.
I heard that. But we're dealing with opinions. We're dealing with facts about the people. All that opinionated can come out of white colleges. But we're dealing with real facts with black people.
And the facts are, brother, and you, I mean, maybe you don't want to hear it, but the facts are that there are people who have been helping of all colors that have been helping in this situation.
No, I'm speaking of is on black talk radio. I'm speaking, I said the man was the best you had.
Well, I loved Onion, too.
Onion, I mean, he was inspirational. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about everybody's opinion of him. I mean, he dealt with facts, and he would become enraged with it. He was never passive.
Okay, so, brother, can you tell us what your point is?
My point is, I just said it.
Okay.
Too much passivity in black radio and too much uninformed information is being spewed out of the mouth of black people merely by hearing a thing. They don't have any knowledge of it. They don't go study it. Hmm. They don't go down to the library or nothing and study even slave history. They just go on what they heard another say. That's what I'm saying.
Hmm.
And that's not good because then you're mimicking and imitating. And not being real, doesn't make a successful people when you only imitate what you heard about your forefathers, but you don't have any first-hand knowledge of it by going there on your own. You understand what I'm saying, Irene?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's what I'm saying now. That I'm just saying listen to talk radio. I just hear neither this or that response. I'm neither this way nor that way. I remember Reverend Brown was on there and did the same thing with Melvin Walker and all of them. He was just as even-minded, but he never took a side. So that's what the Quran says. The hypocrites are neither this way nor that. When they're with their devils, they say, we believe as you do. When they're with the believers, they say, we were only mocking, we believe as you do. And we see that every day. Talking out of two sides of their mouth. Have a good day, Irene.
Have a good day, brother. You hear the music coming up? We're reaching the top of the hour. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This has been Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who's on vacation. The truck is at 5415 Page on the side of Emerson School. The truck will be headed to rural parts of Louisiana and Mississippi. Let's fill it up. Let's get out there to help our people. Have a good day.
Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and killed tonight.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. New Orleans police are going door to door. The mayor has ordered everyone out of the city. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
There are thousands of people who say they'll have to be dragged out of their homes. I was talking to a police officer from Pennsylvania who's here with the rest of his SWAT team. He says they've been told they'll be going in soon with guns.